please don't take this person out. Would you politely go to hell? Get the fuck out of my way, cause it's been one of those days.
Come on, boiler room.
Yeah, we're fucked up. Oh, the wrong door.
Yeah, somehow the apes are back.
Honk, 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 honk.
I have a month's worth of beans.
Makes me want to ride an escalator at a mall.
All we ever do is mention things.
Right out of the box, I'm having fun.
Mad at a room.
Live, on tape, it's the fastest hour in podcasting. This is Never Not Funny. Now, here's your host, Jimmy Pardo.
There we go. Thank you so much, Matt Belknap. Hello, indeed, everybody. Welcome to the program, episode number, letter 35. Why? Harry, every 6 months. Why? Because we like you. M-O-U-S-E. Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse. That's me doing Carol Channing, doing an impression of a duck. Welcome to the program, 35Y. We are winding the season down. But as promised, let me get this out of the way. As promised, if you're listening to live feed, and we'll mention this again later, there's the sidewalk sale, blowout sale. The blowout sale's happening, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
And it is going on. I believe it started at 10:30, and that it's maybe it started at 10. I forget what time it was starting, but it will end in 2 hours. And the code is blowout, B-L-O-W-O-U-T. Now, here's the deal. If you go to the site, the sidewalk sale site, which you can get to through nevernotfunny.com, you will see items are either priced at $10 or at $4, but it's 75% off. So if it's priced at 10 bucks, you're going to get that for $2.50. Mm-hmm. If it's priced for $4, you're going to get it for $1.
Jesus.
So blow it out your ass. That's the sale. That's the blow out your ass sale.
Uh-huh.
So take advantage of that. So don't go on there and go, wait a minute, the chip clip was only $2 2 days ago. I recognize that. To make this 25% thing work for $2.50 and $1, it's priced at $10 and $4. And then, again, once you put the code of blowout in, it'll drop it down to $2.50 and $1. And if there's a problem with that, please let Garrett know in the chat, and I will manage to do nothing about it. Because I don't know if my phone has it on the access.
And we're doing a show.
Access. And I'm busy entertaining people.
Yeah.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you. Matt Belknap knows what the priorities are. And the priorities are getting this shit out of my closet. $2.50 and a dollar. Let's go. Blow it out your ass sale.
This is our President's Day sale, too, right? It's just a few days late.
Yeah, this is my congestion sale. I'm going to be very timely, right? New York. That's New York. They're battling. The governor and the president are battling.
Yeah.
I think our president, I like that our president calls everybody, that every leader of every country a dictator, with the exception of the two that are dictators.
Yeah.
Fucking idiot. And three, if you include him, because he's, you know.
No, he's a king.
You think he puts a little crown on? I was going to ask you. You think he puts a little paper crown on? What? Not paper, but I'm sure some sort of, made a crown for him that he walks around in.
It's a fucking Burger King crown.
You think so?
That's what he has.
You know what? Let's not disrespect that Burger King crown. That's a good, it's a nice treat when you're a kid, is to get that crown. Secondly, I do like a Burger King hamburger. I like a Whopper from
he
time to time.
He seems like more of a McDonald's guy.
He's
from,
a McDonald's
from what we've seen from photo ops.
Yeah. You know what I do? I go through the drive-thru and I get the Whopper, then I go across the street, I go through the drive-thru and get the McDonald's fries, do you? Aren't you interesting? I've met minimum 30 people in my lifetime that have told me that, and 30 times I go, great, and keep walking.
That's, there's two layers to the how sad that is. The one layer is obviously doing it. The second layer is telling someone else.
Telling and in a... It's always some guy who thinks that they're smarter than you.
They're beating the system.
They're beating
somehow.
The system.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's and they say it in like
well, you know what I do in my pizza.
Okay, I don't care. you're not better than me because you order different things on your pizza. Speaking of fast food, though, so yesterday I had to go get a new telephone, and because my old one was literally yesterday it kept the charge for like 30 minutes at the most, and so the T-Mobile near my house. It was going to take an hour to transfer the data, everything over from one phone to the next. And so, I was going to walk and get some dinner while that was happening. Cause I went, around 6 p.m. And, the closest thing was a wiener schnitzel.
Yeah.
And I had not had a wiener schnitzel in a long time. Maybe when we had our going away party for Garen.
That
might be the last time that I had wiener schnitzel.
Yeah, we door dashed it.
God, they were so good. I came right back.
Yeah, you were.
You couldn't go anywhere. They were so
I can't
good.
Leave this. So I ordered the, they have what they call the Chicago dog, which is the ingredients that would come on a hot dog if you ordered it in Chicago, which is celery salt, mustard, onion, relish, pickle, and sport peppers. And sport peppers are a if you're not familiar, I don't know what they're, I don't know what they're real, they call them sport peppers. In Chicago, we call them sport peppers. I'm sure that the vegetable world calls them something different.
Yeah.
But they are not a, they're not hot like a jalapeno, mm-hmm. and they're not sweet. They have a little bit of a kick to them, and I like them. And so it and three fit wonderfully on the dog. By the way, this is a premier all beef hot dog.
Yeah,
which I will say was delicious. It was maybe the best hot dog I've had in ages.
Wow.
And I'm as surprised as you are. I thought I was just killing time.
It's very surprising.
It was great. And then the fries were fresh, and they were also delicious.
Oh.
It turned out to be a very nice meal. Why a hot dog and fries should cost $14, that's a different conversation.
God.
So, but here's what happened. I took a bite of said of aforementioned hot dog, and instead of the pepper, when I bit biting into it, instead of it just snapping in half, it decided to snap in a way where it exploded into the back of my mouth.
Yeah. Oh.
So all the contents, basically, like you're squeezing one side of the, like if it's out, if it's out in the world, mm-hmm. you're squeezing one side and it like, or almost like a cornucopia, it you know, you know, a cartoon bugle,
yeah.
you know, the sound coming out.
It's that emoji that shows up when you say happy birthday to that, someone.
Yes, thank you. That directly into the back of my mouth.
Ugh.
All hot pepper juice and content, which made me, because it was such a, so shocking, I went, which made it
oh, no.
then go into my sinuses.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh. Disaster.
Oh.
So my throat today is, and I just coincidentally, I had a doctor's appointment, so I had him check for infection and stuff like that, which, because it feels like I have the worst sore throat in the world. Like, if I had no memory whatsoever, I would go, oh, I have strep throat. That's how bad my throat hurts. Mm-hmm. But I had all testing done today to make sure that I'm fine. I have no infections whatsoever. But he looked at my throat. He goes, oh, yeah, that's pretty raw. And he's like, but more importantly, you've got a lot of post-nasal drip. And because it all went up into my sinuses. Yeah. At any rate, awful.
But you just said this was a very good hot dog. So that didn't spoil your overall experience.
Last bite.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you were enjoying it, and then bam.
And then last bite. And in a way, and I also went like, this is going to be a great last bite. Like, what are you know how you do that?
You're excited.
How you'll see like a cookie and you're going to go, I'm going to wait. That's going to be the last of the two of the cookies I eat.
Yeah.
It was like that. It was like, oh, look at it. It's got the sport pepper. It's got the everything else. It's like, oh, this is going to be great. And then bam. And then just a lot of Diet Coke. And then I had a lot of fries to try to. Just cool, anything cool. in there.
Chill it out a little
bit.
So, Jimmy, is it fair to say that after all that, you're still alive?
Yes, that shitty DJ.
Body's aching from his head to his feet. Shoulders, backbone, places discreet. Can't fix his eyes, hard to be seeing. Yelling at Garen ain't the way to be healing. Have a Coke Zero if you need to revive. Get to the doctor if you're gonna survive. Ooh. Jimmy's alive.
Oh my God.
Ooh, Jimmy's alive.
Very nice.
Amazing.
A little nod to our sister program, How to Survive with Danielle and Christine.
Yes, sir.
Now, who sent that in, Ellie?
That is David Cumming.
Thank you, David. David Cumming, I believe, out of Canada.
Yeah.
I say he's a Canadian gentleman.
He's been in our Zoom hangouts and stuff.
He may be. Is he? I don't know.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Could be in the live feed right now.
Isn't he like famous blue background?
That's him.
Yeah.
Bald gentleman.
Bald gentleman with a beard.
And I think a successful podcaster in his own right.
I think a sleep pod, like he tells a spooky story to get you to sleep or something like that.
No sleep podcast.
No sleep podcast.
That's right. Yeah.
A couple of my stories are on that show.
Oh, great, yeah. Garen. Talk about me right now, but that's cool.
That's great, Garen. Don't appreciate the shift in focus.
I mean, that's cool. Yeah, good for you. You wrote a story. I don't know if I talked about this pepper spray in the back of my throat. No, that's great. Yeah, no sleep. So go over there if you want to fall asleep. Garen's stories are just the thing for you.
I have a question about these sport peppers. Maybe we've talked about this before and I don't remember.
Hold on. Does Garen have a name for these things? Like the actual culinary name for sport? But did you look that up?
Oh, no. Are they called
sport peppers?
They're called sport peppers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was going to ask, how is this different from what I would call the peppercini?
It is not a peppercini in any way, shape, or form. Okay. Peppercini is a different thing altogether.
Okay.
This is...
What color is a sport pepper?
Green.
So that's the one thing that they share. Is it like a similar size?
I always thought they were called sport, and this may not be accurate in any way, shape, or form. I always thought they were called sport peppers growing up because they were a small, they're you know, about an inch and a half long, and they're very skinny.
Oh, because the peppercini is vinegarized and sort of fat.
Yeah, it's none of that. Okay. Yeah, stay out of, just get the peppercini out of this. That's not part of the conversation. I can't be more clear.
I can tell you what I never want is an unchopped pepper anywhere near my food. Like, I don't want it.
You want a whole pepper?
If I'm going to have pepper at all, I want it to be chopped or sliced or something. I don't want, like, what happened to you only happened because they didn't chop it up.
Right.
I guess that's how they do it in Chicago, but for my money.
It's the Chicago way.
Yeah. They bring a knife, you bring a sport pepper.
Speaking of which, somebody just tweeted, some famous person just passed away, and somebody, I think it's on Signal. Not Signal. What's it called?
Blue Sky.
Which I called Skylark earlier.
better name, honestly.
I think it is too. Skylark was the band that David Foster, one time guest of our program, was in a band called Skylark before he became a very successful producer.
Did Buick sue them for the infringement?
That's why I had to go into producing.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. I want to hear. This is maybe you guys can help me with this. Does this have anything to do with the last episode? Somebody texted me that just says to me directly, "Fuck, I love mothers." Does that have something to do with our show?
I'm not sure, but Mothers is the brand of a cookie.
It is a cookie,
so maybe that's what they're.
But we didn't talk cookies.
Well, but we have though. Maybe 4 years ago.
Yeah, but so that's not right here. It just makes no sense to me.
It does seem out of context.
Someone you know texted you that?
No, a fan, a listener. I assume it's a listener.
Uh-huh. On Blue Sky.
Yeah, Skylark.
Oh, I see.
I thought it was a text message. Maybe because you said I got a text message.
What did I say?
I don't remember.
Oh,
actually.
I did say text message. All right, here we go. The person, Roy Hollis is this gentleman's name. He says, "I bet Jimmy Pardo feels bad for this person. Maybe they knew someone who knew Dennis Farina, too." Because remember, that was the premise an ex-girlfriend of my brother put on Facebook. This one hurts. My cousin worked for his nephew or whatever the fuck it was. It was like, you have no connection whatsoever. You could just say, "I like Dennis Farina as an actor. This is a bummer." And it would be just as accurate. So this person is, here we go. This makes me, this was a screenshot of another Skylark post. "Makes me sad and happy. My old basketball coach was Chris Farley's roommate at Marquette."
My old basketball coach was Chris Farley's roommate
at Marquette.
Yeah, so that.
Wow, that's deep.
That is, again, you are not connected to Chris Farley.
No.
Even if that was your dad who was your basketball coach and you just didn't mention it, that still doesn't.
If your dad was Chris Farley's roommate, then I'm like, okay, now we're getting close.
You're getting closer. At least there's some sadness in the house.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
But your old sadness basketball coach at Marquette, you've got no.
You don't talk to this guy.
You met a guy that knew the guy. Yeah. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
And then the AI said, Reddit comment right up Jimmy Pardo's alley regarding people having vague connections to celebrities. Nice. So AI's getting involved as well.
Sure.
Was that brought on by the SNL?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So my wife and I, the other night, we went to see Paddington in Peru.
Oh, that's out?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know it was out.
You go see it, make your own decision, okay. Your own mind up. But before the movie started, James R. Pardo Jr. said, "I'm going to run to the restroom. I don't want to miss a second of Paddington in Peru." Mm-hmm. And this is a reversal of what happened in the past when I went to see Free Solo and I was walking up some stairs and I tripped and I famously, tore my labrum and other issues.
The beginning of almost all of your health trouble today.
So Monday night, Oliver went to the Mint. You know that rock and roll jazz club
on Pico.
Yeah. His one of his friends was sitting in on drums, with a jazz band, and then another friend was part of the three backup vocalists for a different jazz band.
Wow,
that's very
so
cool.
They Oliver went to support them because they came out to support not quid pro quo, but they came out to see him do stand up. Sure. So he went to see them, and he said at any rate he enjoyed it. And so Danielle and I went to see Paddington in Peru. That's the name of the movie. We didn't go to Peru to see someone named Paddington.
Just to see that one movie.
Yeah.
So the trailers are playing, and I decide I'm going to run to the restroom so I don't miss a second of Paddington, Peru.
Don't want to miss a thing.
And we all know how stairs, again, I am not quoting my act, but it'll sound like I am. You know how stairs work, and our brains know how stairs work. Our brains understand how stairs work. What our brains don't understand, if you're not paying attention, when one is maybe a foot long and the next one is 6 inches long, you know, like mm-hmm. when they have different length steps.
Yeah.
I miss a step. I then fall down 10 stairs.
Oh, no. Oh.
And wow. I tumble down, and I did what every 12-year-old would do. I jump up and go, I'm okay, to nobody's response, because nobody saw it happen.
Oh.
Not one person. And then and part of me was that irrational, I'm angry that Danielle's not being sympathetic. And then when I finally got back to my seat, the angle that Danielle had, she would not have seen 1 second of it. It would have just looked like I was getting smaller because I was going downstairs.
Yeah.
But instead, it just happened quickly. And my whole body, so I then still had to go to the restroom. My whole body was kind of spasming, like all the muscles were trying to figure out what just happened. So this is not as bad as it was.
Ah.
But that is
a shin bruise for the listener.
And it was about the size of a golf ball at one point.
Oh, wow.
Or a half of a ping pong ball.
Wait, yeah. What did you hit that caused that?
Right.
You don't remember?
I've also got this guy. Uh-huh. Which is
an elbow scrape,
this was a huge bruise, and
yeah, that makes more sense.
That falling. This one makes sense.
Shin, like, how does the shin?
How does the shin get involved?
That's very baffling.
So, I also my wrists both
of course
really hurt, and then my labrum, of course, is in agonizing pain now because it was already healing, and I may have gone. Yeah, I'll say this, pun intended, 10 steps back.
Yeah.
So anyway, Matt, I'm with you. How did the shin get, like, there's, if you had a model, mm-hmm. and you're a scientist, and it's like, okay, let's do a model of a person, yeah. of various heights and weights falling down these stairs.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you bet the shins never hit anything?
Yeah.
Because going up, maybe.
Right, yes. But also, like, I'm trying to think, like, if your leg kicked out weird and hit a chair, maybe, or an arm.
Or like arm a handrail. Rail,
handrail, yeah. Yeah. But even that.
But a handrail so high. What are those called? God damn it, help me.
Somersault?
The thing that Molly Shannon's character does.
Cartwheel.
Cartwheel.
Yeah.
That would be the only way a shin would hit the handrail.
I mean, I guess, like, if you somehow got so spun around backwards that your shin hit the edge of a stair.
I wonder, like.
But that seems unlikely, too, because you're going forward.
So what did I hit, you know, because it was against, you know, there's the wall mm-hmm. and with the handrail on it. And so did I then that wall ends. I hit the end of that?
I have a theory.
I'm listening.
This is a long shot theory, I'm going to admit. But was it your other foot hitting your shin?
Sure.
I mean, did you have a hard shoe on?
I was wearing a work boot with a steel toe. I didn't know what this movie was going to bring, so I wanted protective covering on my toes.
I feel like a sneaker wouldn't cause that damage.
It would be, in fact, it was these very sneakers, these very Brooks. Yeah. So I don't know, for this to be the size of a ping pong ball and then the bruise that you see today, yeah. I mean, that would be, my foot would have had to just. So
did a soccer player slide tackle you as you fell?
More and more, these thoughts are
because that's
sense.
What it looks like happened.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah, it looks like you got cleated.
But Cletus, when a guy named Cletus comes over,
and when Cletus kicks you in the shin,
some hillbilly comes over.
So here's my question: 2 times in 10 years, this kind of an error has happened.
Yeah,
are we no longer going to go to theaters with stairs?
Well, then I wouldn't go to any theaters.
Well, there are some. Like, it doesn't the one where you see the silent movies, isn't that ramp?
Yeah, but I don't like a rake theater like that.
You don't like a shallow rake?
I'm a small man who can't see past somebody.
You need the
you got to choose, Jimmy.
I'll take the risk.
All right.
I think the bigger question is, at what point do I go see a specialist because my brain doesn't know how to work stairs?
Yeah, I think you need some stair training.
Can
yeah.
I suggest like a carabiner instead of a rope that you can connect
Aaron,
to
Aaron, I don't want to quote my act. I do this with no rope, no carabiner, nothing. Right? What I'm saying is that I watched a movie, Gary,
yeah.
where a man climbed the face of a mountain, but I couldn't walk out of a movie there, but I did with no rope, no carabiner. Woo! That's our hero. More. Please don't end your show now.
Are you? Do you think maybe subconsciously you did this to have a tag for that bit?
If I may, maybe an update. Yeah, because I can't. Hey, who saw Free Solo? Don't know what that is, old man. Was that a movie from 45 years ago? And then I go, no, it was only from 5 years ago.
It was a
very update your act.
Well regarded.
How many purple belts are you going to buy?
I mean, it's true that it probably wasn't that widely seen because it was a documentary, but it was an acclaimed documentary.
Here's the thing. Everybody, whenever I say to the audience, there's enough people in the audience. Here's the truth. I don't want people to have really seen it because I want to explain what it is because that's, you know, there's comedy along the way.
Yeah.
But this will put a new little patina on it.
Yeah.
Is that a nice word there?
Sure. But yeah, I would think after the one time, you'd be very, very careful walking stairs in
this
a theater.
Was downstairs.
It doesn't
the
matter.
Problem last time was upstairs.
Okay, so now will you be careful going both directions?
Yes, but now here's the other thing. Earlier that day, I went to my doctor in Beverly Hills. You know the one.
Vinny Boombots.
No, this is the one that makes you feel all right. It's the other guy. It's the first doctor. No, that's the other guy.
Oh, Sugarman?
No, Prince has the guy.
Yeah.
Doctor,
everything's going to be all right.
Doctor, everything's going to be all right.
That's his name.
Let's go crazy, right?
I don't know if everything is his first name or not, but...
I'm going to be honest. I never knew that's what he was saying in that song. The doctor part.
Yeah.
I heard that everything's going to be all right.
So that's that doctor. Then you got...
Bob Marley reference.
Vinny Boombots.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, one of the fantasy leagues I'm in changed the name. The name is now Vinny Boombats.
I love it.
And I am on board.
Fantastic.
Sure. Love it. In fact, I'm mad... Didn't think of that for my team name 10 years ago. So, all right, you got Vinny Boombots. Mm-hmm. You got Dr. Everything's Gonna Be All Right. Mm-hmm. You've got Dr. Feelgood.
Yep. Sure.
And then
Joe Sugarman,
Then you got the real doctor. Well, this guy's in the penthouse. The guy that I saw the other day, and which is 14 floors up.
Is it Dr. Jefferson?
Moving on up.
George
Jefferson. Oh, yes, love it. I wish I would have got that. I immediately went to Thomas Jefferson and didn't get it.
By the way, I'm not sure that it was ever confirmed they were in a penthouse.
I don't think they were.
It's a deluxe apartment in the sky, but I don't know if they were literally the penthouse.
Deluxe does not say penthouse.
No, but they are in the sky.
Penthouse apartment. No.
It would have fit.
But you don't see that.
The writer's room revolted. We didn't establish it was the penthouse.
So here's the deal. The elevator there in this particular building is old and takes forever. So I always walk down the 14 stairs. And I walk down them as if I'm in the towers of 9/11 and I'm in a hurry to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never, boom, 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 down, no problem.
Yeah.
Because your brain understands how to do the steps.
Right.
It's these weird... One, because it's got the letter J on it, because it's telling you what row you're in. So it's a little longer than a smaller step. And so that's the problem.
And but are they lit? I mean, I'm wondering if you have a...
Everything's lit.
Okay.
Everything's fine. This is all, again, it's...
So you don't
have
a lawsuit necessarily?
No, this is my brain thinking I know how stairs work. And
wait, which stair was this?
I don't want to call them. Let me just say they are leaving their mark on the cinema.
Good for them.
Darren,
you've got just like a guy whose underwear is sticking out, you've got a little bit of browser window sticking in that screen that's going to drive me crazy.
Yeah. Let's get that out of the air.
Why is it doing that?
I don't know.
Because it's
there we go. Too big. Thank you, Garen.
Those are the Prince lyrics I was looking at.
Oh.
And what does it say, Garen?
It says, so when you call up that shrink in Beverly Hills, you know the one doctor, everything will be all right.
Okay,
everything will be all right.
Shrink in Beverly Hills. He's not a doctor.
Well, he's a doctor.
But specifically, this is for the brain.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in fairness, this is the guy I should be seeing for this issue.
Yeah. I mean, maybe.
Maybe a neurologist. I think a neurologist.
Yeah, I think you need more of an actual, you need a therapist as much as like an actual brain doctor.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've played this, so I'm just going to, I think this fits, but I'm not sure.
Doctors calling, doctor, where you at? Ring, waiting, why you gotta do me like that? Heartbeat racing, thinking, did you forget me? Pick up, give me that sweet remedy. Yeah.
That's insanely good. Like, it sounds like a real fucking song on the radio.
That's not AI, right? We're not doing AI shit.
Oh, you know what? Maybe that's what that... Maybe that's what...
That probably is.
That is probably what that
we
is.
We have such talented
We're
people.
We're not doing that here.
I forgot.
Oh,
wait.
Uh-oh. I got a buzz.
Oh, I don't hear it.
That's me. That's me because my iPad restarted. It hated it so much that it...
it shouldn't have hated it. It was, even if it was AI, it was fantastic.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have enough talented folks that submit. Although, I guess if AI is the future, whatever. I don't know what's happening in our world. But I do.
It seems like the least of our worries now.
I disagree, Garrett. I think everything's great in the country. I think everything's going to be all right.
Just like the doctor in Beverly Hills said.
Yeah.
Here's the good news. We live somewhat in a bubble. So when the Civil War happens, we'll be the last to be attacked. That's my that's my thought on that.
Or will we be the first because we represent everything they hate?
Is it going to be like the French Revolution and they'll just anybody with a house?
Well, they already burned down all their houses in the Palisades, so they're good.
Wow.
That's right. I'm going with
that's
that
a conspiracy theory.
Well,
There's a conspiracy theory.
I forget who said it, but I saw people pouring gasoline into the sewer line.
There you go.
So what was happening?
Did you check with your favorite comedian?
I did. I checked with Whitney, and she confirmed it.
Okay.
I checked with her. Then I did rifle off a quick text to Joe Coy. I wanted to make sure that he had some information. Elliot, please play the celebrity sighting sound. Yeah.
And the only reason why I say that is because
Your thing is...
Yes.
Oh.
All right. Well, celebrity sighting.
Hold on.
Yeah, CN, thank a bam.
Famous people is who. CN. All right. Here we go. Get ready for it, guys. Can you...
Hold on. Do you want... Our guest just showed up.
So. Celebrity sighting.
Let's at least wait a minute for Garen to be able to...
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Garen, our guest is here. Tony Thaxton will be joining us, drummer extraordinaire. What?
Bring him in?
No, because he's not going to be set up for sound.
Yeah, thank you.
A little Tony goes a long way. I don't need an extra 2.5 minutes of Tony Thaxton.
I don't know why. I refuse to activate that mic until the break. I have to save those, 37 megabytes of space on this hard drive by not recording one track for 40 minutes.
I'm not as up on this sort of thing. Now, Ellie got a nice charge over what you just said. Is 37, it was not milligrams. What was it?
Megabytes.
Megabytes.
I was being sarcastic because that's a very small amount.
That's my point. I was asking that. So it's nothing.
I mean,
these days.
The actual track would probably be more than that. It would probably be a couple hundred megabytes or something.
100 megabytes.
It's still very negligible in the grand scheme of things, and I should just record it just in case. But you've been very clear. You do not want the guest in here.
I do not like the guest coming in before the break.
Yeah.
I like us to, and we thank, God rest his soul, we thank Richard Lewis for that concept. He was the one, it still took a few shows for us after Richard was on to adopt this, but I think it's best for the show. Best for the guest.
Well, there was that decision, but then we sort of backslid when we got to the new studio and we set up a mic over there so people would come in and sit over there and be a part of it to some extent.
We did backslid. You're right.
I think there are times when that did make sense, but there were probably many more times where it didn't make sense.
I'm on board with it never happening. And when but there are some that, as we know, will barge in and just sit there. And I don't love it. I play along with it.
You've got the Paul F. Tompkins barging, but then you've also got the Paul Reiser just, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. He just comes in and sits right down in the guest chair.
I don't think he does that as a bully, but more of a, hey, I'm having fun. I'm already having fun.
Yeah. No, but he's also like, I'm too important. What the fuck is this
now?
No,
Tony. No. No. Yeah. I will tell you what's cool is that jacket. I love it. Thank you. I'm going to listen to Garrett. I'm asking him about his jacket.
Hey, give him your mic, Garrett, just so we can hear what he's saying.
Just yell it, Tony.
Just hold it up.
Collar, I want to feel that at some point. Is it soft or is it got a little stiffness to it?
Yeah, little stiffness. Yeah. Not super soft.
I'm going to feel it later.
Oh, I can't wait.
All right, get out. Right.
Is that from H&M? Yeah, I have the same one in black.
You have that one in black? And your thoughts on the collar?
I know you wanted a jacket like that, and you didn't like how the collar kind of goes up your neck.
I have bought upwards of 15 of those jackets.
That's just the design of it, and you have to be cool with it or not. Like, if you can't handle it, then that jacket's not for you.
Here's the other thing about that jacket. I don't look good in it. It does not fit me well.
Oh. I'd like to try that. I'd like to test that theory with this very jacket today.
With Tony's?
Yeah.
If he's open to it?
Now, here's the thing. You've got a hoodie on. Sometimes I put a hoodie under that jacket, and the hood pushes down the collar, and that solves everything.
I don't need that layer, though.
That's
the whole reason I bought that other jacket.
Yeah, if it's not... Well, I did that when we went to see Michael Shannon and friends.
You had layers on.
And Jason Narduzzi. I don't know why we have to say all the names.
I don't know.
Why not Michael Shannon and Jason Narduzzi and Doug Jewelin?
Yeah, why is it two names and friends? Why do the other
three
get...
John Worster. And let's just say everybody's name if we're going to say...
Or give it a fucking bad... They can't give it a bad name because you got to have Michael Shannon's name because that's why people are coming. You can't call it Fables of the Reconstruction.
What if you call it Michael and the Shannundels?
I would not go to that. Murmur would be a good name for a...
Murmur's a great name for an REM.
Reckoning's actually a better name.
Both are good.
All right, Tony left.
While we were there watching it, I was like, what if you just called the band Fable? I like that name, too. Fable. Simple.
That's a band I would hear on Spectrum.
Or The Fables, but I think Fable is...
I don't like The Fables. Fable. Here's Fable with blah, blah, blah.
But I think
I like that
they got themselves into a pickle because they did a whole tour of Murmur.
Yeah.
And they called themselves whatever they're, you know, Michael Shannon and Jason Narduzzi and friends. Then they did this. They started this one. So if they had called themselves Murmur, then would they have felt the need to change it for this new tour? Because now they're doing Fables of the Reconstruction.
You don't change your name.
No.
I think
it's too late. They
already screwed everything up. except for the music, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
There's a band that they play on Spectrum a lot called Inhaler. I think it's called Inhaler or Inhale.
Okay.
Your thoughts on that? I don't like that.
I don't
name.
Like it.
Yeah, I don't either.
I mean, Inhaler, obviously it's evoking a child with asthma who, you know, gets picked on for
using that route. You could also is it
drug related?
Is it drug related?
Yeah, sure.
Is it Bill Clinton related? He did not inhale.
He did not,
famously.
So it's probably not. The song's okay. It's a lot of the newer music is not for me. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right. And some is. As I mentioned, that Spectrum, boy, do they want me to like that Maggie Rogers. They are ramming Maggie Rogers down my throat. And I don't dislike Maggie Rogers or the songs that they play. But, man, they play it as much as they play 38 Special on Classic Rewind.
So Maggie,
which is a lot.
Maggie Rogers is a band name?
I believe it's a woman's name.
Woman. Oh, okay. Well, the way you said it, you do kind of use the British they, kind of like when somebody goes... when they talk about like a company and they say they instead of or whatever. I can't pull a good sentence to example.
Let me save
this.
You and stop this conversation.
Yeah.
So let me ask you guys a question. We're live. Mm-hmm. Thank you to the live people that are listening in the live stream. So the guest will buzz in. You will then alert Garen. Garen will go out. They will then sign paperwork and then they will sit tight. And then so Garen went out there and did that. Then he came back in. Tony did his bit, pretending he's as cool as Paul F. Tompkins. And then Garen went back out.
I think he didn't find him when he went out.
What happened?
When I went out the first time?
Yeah.
He was nowhere.
He went to the restroom.
He must have gone to the bathroom. Yeah.
And then thought he could just go, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There we go. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, to your point, Tony Thaxton will join us. He can play Celebrity Sighting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we've got the letter game. Of course, the letter is Y. Dramas that begin with the letter Y.
Mm-hmm.
There are enough out there for us to play this round. And don't forget, the blowout is your code to go to the sidewalk sale. You can get to that through nevernotfunny.com. And don't forget, my tour dates are on at jimmypardo.com. Not all the tour dates are up yet because there are not links to all the cities. But if I've announced the city, assume that I will be there unless something completely goes sideways. Because I'm getting a lot of people saying, hey, you mentioned Ann Arbor, but there's no link. I'm as frustrated as you are.
Jimmy, can you promise on this episode, live streaming,
yes,
no edits, that you will not go to a movie theater between now and these dates?
I cannot make that promise.
But that's the most likely way that you will go sideways.
Yeah.
I meant if it goes sideways in the sense of
them canceling
the club, the contract. They don't agree to Mr. Pardo's terms.
Mm. But your health is always
always on the table.
As a problem.
Yes.
So
yeah.
Good luck to everybody.
Yeah. Good luck. Get your tickets now. Buy in early. No refunds. I don't know if that's true. I made that apart. All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, Tony Thaxton, right after this.
Hey, gang, Matt here with some dates for you. Tony Thaxton's on Instagram, at Tony Thaxton. He's also on the great podcast, Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend. Check that out, your new best friend. Check that out if you haven't. It's a really fun show. He's also the drummer for Motion City Soundtrack. They got a new album coming out later this year. They're going to be doing some dates in the summer. So if you like that kind of rock and roll music, which I do, then you should go check them out. Jimmy Pardo is going to be doing Flappers in Burbank, the Yoo-Hoo Room, on March 15th. He has also got a bunch of dates in April. Let me turn the page and read them all down for you. We got Zanies in Rosemont on the 16th of April. The Comedy Attic on the 17th. The Comedy Attic is in Bloomington, Indiana. I don't know why I didn't write that here, because I know it, but I locked up when I saw that. Comedy Attic on the 17th, Jukebox in Peoria, Illinois on the 18th. Those are all the April dates. Then in May, he's going to Denver on the 7th. He's at the Bug in Denver. On the 8th, he's in Michigan, the Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase. And on the 9th, the Hashtag Comedy Theater in Columbus, Ohio. Go to JimmyPardo.com for all his dates and deets. There's even more than that. I haven't read all of them. Oh, Plano, Texas, Austin, Texas at the end of May. San Diego in June. Just check out the website, JimmyPardo.com. Click shows if you want to see what tickets are available and then how to get them and all that stuff. And finally, Platinum people, please make sure that your address is correct on our website. Log into our website, NeverNotFunny.com, and check your address. That way, when we ship stuff to you, if you are due any kind of physical perks for the new year, then they will go to the right place. And if you're at a high tier, like a tier 4 or higher, and you need to choose which person you want to have a private Zoom chat with, then make those choices now. Enjoy!
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the program, episode 35. Why? Now, I've got the Balabans on for those that are watching the video. Those that are just listening to live stream. Here's the deal. I'm going to give you an update on the blowout sale, the sidewalk blowout sale.
Yeah.
Orders are coming in fast and furious.
Great.
And but as far as products go, we've already sold out of some things. The chip clips are gone.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
The Septoberfest enamel pins are gone. The Comedy Attic chip is gone. So here's what's left. The Jimmy's Past Tour posters, mm-hmm. and then the Jimmy's Past Tour collectible pack. Got some of those left. The sticker pack is still available. That's $1. Come on, assholes. The gray logo hat, we're still going to have some of those.
They were never going to sell.
They're never going to sell it. Then the keychain and the air freshener, there's still plenty of those. Again, $2.50 for some things, $1 for others. There's a few more jar openers. And did I already mention there's a lot of trading cards? I already mentioned there's a lot of trading cards.
Okay.
So let's go. Your code is blowout. Get in there and take advantage of that great sale, the sidewalk sale. Now, speaking of great, the great Tony Thaxton has joined us. Tony had the wonderful podcast, Bizarre Albums, which I guess is on a hiatus, Tony? Or is,
yeah,
is it over?
TBD a little bit.
You run out?
It's not that I ran out, because I still have like a stack of records at home, and I still like keep finding out about certain ones. But I got a little burned out because it's just me, and like it takes a lot of work. And
yeah, you do a great job on that show. For those that don't that have not listened, I've talked about it before. Mm-hmm. It is 20 minutes long mostly, mm-hmm. usually, and you do great research. You give us great information. You about the songs, about the albums, about the people that played on the albums, why it happened.
Mm-hmm.
It is in fact, if you've never not listened, they're still available.
Yeah.
But I hear what you're saying. I only interrupted to sing your praises. It's a great show. It's an easy listen.
Yeah.
In this day of long podcasts,
right.
It's 20 mm-hmm. minutes in and out.
Yeah.
You're good, and the information's great.
Thank you.
But you got a little burnt out, you say?
A little bit, yeah, because I found myself, when I started it, and for the first several years, I was like, it was like the thing I was excited to do.
Yeah.
And then it kind of got to where it just started feeling a little more like a chore after mm-hmm. a while, and I was like, do I even care about doing this one? And sometimes you don't know, because sometimes I might not really know anything until I start looking into the album, and then sometimes you stumble into some great stuff like, oh, this is going to be really fun, actually.
Right.
And then sometimes it's like, oh, this is just kind of a dud. And then I'm so far in and I'm like, I'm on a crunch. So I guess this is what it's going to be.
Yeah.
So more of those were happening. And then I felt like I didn't run out of records, but I think I got to all the ones that I really wanted to cover for
sure.
the most part. So, yeah. So I just decided to take a break and I said I would be back. And right now I'm still kind of just like, I don't know.
If you don't go back, you don't go back.
Yeah.
A limited series, we'll call it.
Yeah. I'd like to pop back here and there. So maybe not regularly, maybe just like occasionally pop one out or something. But
how many episodes did you do? Do you know the
Boy, I don't know. At least, I think it was approaching 200, I think.
Wow. My guess was going to be 175.
Yeah, something in that ballpark.
But yeah, Oliver and I very much, certainly during the pandemic, it was such a nice comfort listen during the pandemic. And Oliver and I loved it. And we would save them up. And as I've told you, we would listen to three at a time to, you know, for a long trip or whatever.
Yeah.
And because no one's that is not must listen the second it drops. those can wait. They waited for a purpose. I'm teasing. And was there one like the Joe Pesci one's insane?
Yeah,
that's what that one's insane.
Which one though? The in character one.
The in character one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The one where he's just singing
from the '60s. Yeah.
That's just a guy who had a fairly decent voice who, you know, said, I'm going to make an album.
That is, and just to interrupt real quick, that one, I was convinced, like, because I didn't know about that he had put a record out in 68, I think it was. And I thought, you know, long out of print, and I was like, I'm never going to find one of these. Because I always like to actually have a copy. And one day I found a record store near me had, like, posted, they were, like, flipping through, like, a bunch of new arrivals here of used stuff. And they flip past that. I was like, I knew the guy, and I was like, did I just see Little Joe Sure Can Sing in there? And he was like, yeah. And that is, to this day, the most I have ever paid for a record was a Joe Pesci album.
What did he charge you for that?
$175.
Wow. $1 for every episode.
Yeah. I just did That's it. I was like, I'm just going to do it because I'm probably never going to see this again.
That is
what
insane.
The F.
They're impossible.
He had you over a barrel. He knew what you were looking for.
Well, I think that was literally his sticker price that he had on it.
$175.
Yeah. They're out of print. Although I think since then, I think on like Record Store Day last year, 2 years ago or something, they did end up doing like a new reissue of it. But, you know, it's one of those things I'm like, I'm sure I can sell it at some point if I really decide, like, why do I have this?
I would say you go home and do that. let's get that sale moving.
Well, what am I going to listen to?
If you can find a second person who gives a shit about it.
What did you say?
If you can find a second person who can give a shit about it.
Yeah, yeah, you were a conversation that day. Hey, boss, guess what we cut loose today? Now, let me ask you this. So what to you, of all the bizarre albums, was the one that you went, because there were ones that Oliver and I would listen to, we'd go, you know what? Yes, the concept is bizarre, but the execution is, this is a pretty good album.
Yeah.
What was the one of those for you? And then, by contrast, what was one that, like, oh, this is just absolute shit?
Boy.
And I know there's a lot of them to think about.
Yeah, that's a good question. But ones that come to mind immediately, as far as, I'm not going to say from start to finish that it's great, but I do genuinely find the songs fun, and it's just so fucking weird. Is they? It was one of the first episodes, the Jan and Dean Meet Batman.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was just such a bizarre concept that, you know, they did these like sketches in between the songs, but then, and they wrote all these songs about Batman, but then found out later they couldn't, for some reason, couldn't use the Batman characters in the sketches, but they could in the songs. And so they had to re-record the sketches and change the superheroes to, like, random names. But then the songs were about Batman, and the record was called Meet Batman. But then the songs just kind of sound like Beach Boys singing about Batman.
Yeah.
And they're just, like, goofy, and it's kind of fun. And it's just a just really bizarre story.
All right.
So I really enjoyed that one, just for how strange it was. And then as far as there's a lot of really bad ones.
Yes.
But I think one of the absolute worst, and I think you even, if I, my memory is that you even texted me when this episode came out, the D.D. King album, which was D.D. Ramone's rap album.
Yes.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Did I text, who would buy this?
Yeah, I believe that was probably exactly what you texted. Yeah. It came out in like 1989. And you know, he was fresh out of rehab, I think, and it sounds like, it's like a child wrote some rap. And, but what's crazy then too is that like Debbie Harry's on the record and like some other people from, and apparently it was just them, they were friends of his and he was out of rehab and they wanted to just be supportive. And so they lent their talents to it. Wow. And
That brings up a question for me, which is, what is the most, like a lot of these are 70s, maybe some 80s, maybe some 60s. What's the most recent of all of them, of a bizarre album? Because it seems like at a certain point you realize it's just like going on a reality show. At a certain point, you're like, oh, I'm going on a reality show. I know what I'm in for.
Yeah, I think it gets a little bit harder with newer ones because I think there's so much stuff they can do in the studio now, like auto-tune and all that stuff. Right. So like they can kind of cheat and make most people sound passable.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And like that makes me think of it is what it is, but like back in like 07, I forget what year it was, the Paris Hilton album that she did.
Oh, sure. That too, yeah.
But the thing that made me laugh, it's you know, it's not awful, it's not good, it's just whatever. But what made me laugh is when I was doing all the research and I found like some behind the scenes videos and stuff, every time her producer or somebody else involved with the record was talking about it, they were like, yeah, she was great, and she always did all her own singing. They always would say that, and I was like, that tells me that
she did not.
Yeah. It was just like they made a point every interview to bring that up.
I mean, an album like that, like the Paris Hilton or any it, that really all depends on the songwriting and the production because she's just other than being famous for being Paris Hilton, she's just somebody. Mm-hmm. Like it could be any singer off the street and could do those songs.
Yeah.
And the songs weren't that great.
Yeah.
So,
but they could have.
What like, I just said made sense, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if it did.
If she somehow, if she had managed to link up with the songwriters who worked on Sabrina Carpenter's album,
yes, right.
Or like, and the producers and like, and if they just gave her all that same material, it wouldn't be as good, but they would still be recognizably catchy.
Oh, these
pop
are good.
Songs.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
You probably would have gotten a couple
so
of
So how did she
it.
Not get those? Like why,
I don't know.
Why was the production and the song selection not great?
I don't remember listening to it, but I do remember that it was like more successful than I thought it was going to be at
I
the time.
I think so. And I think there's like, even talk that she's going to put out more.
I thought she did, actually.
Yeah.
I thought there had been a second
Yeah, it
one,
may have.
I think there was a billboard in the house. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Infinite Icon, it's called the second album.
And it's great. It's really great. No sophomore slump there, man.
But
this thing rocks.
It's kind of like Selena Gomez like has a relatively successful pop career, and she really can't
Oh, no,
sing.
She's not very good.
Yeah, but like she somehow managed to do the right thing at the right time with like doing songs that she could handle range wise and they were catchy dance pop music and like people wanted that from her, I guess. I don't know. She has a handful of hits and that's she can tour. She can sell out arenas.
She's a billionaire.
Yeah. From
that
makeup.
Fragrance or makeup. Or
I don't know what it is. That's something.
I know it's not going to be from acting.
It's not from the music or the
not
acting.
From music or acting. Cause that ain't her bag.
She filled a bathtub with nacho cheese for her boyfriend for Valentine's Day.
What the?
You didn't see that?
I guess you can do that because if you're a billionaire and you fuck up plumbing.
just throw the tub away.
So it's a whole bathtub of nacho cheese for him to dip chips to sit in?
Hopefully the former, but I don't know.
Yeah. What do you do with that? How do you take care of that afterward?
I don't think she does.
Well,
she gets
one
of the three servants to go in there and hose that thing down.
Did you see that, Garen?
I did.
Can you pull it up
on
the screen?
Is there photographic evidence?
I think there's a video. I think Benny Blanco. Was it his Instagram or something? I think he filmed walking into the apartment or house or whatever. And I think it's the classic, like it's actually funny. I don't know if it was supposed to be funny, but it's like there's like rose petals on the floor and then he walks in and then it's nacho cheese in a bathtub.
I mean, you missed the trick there. You should have like Doritos or some kind of red corn tortilla chip.
I agree with that.
Yeah, that would have been smart.
Okay.
I might be misrepresenting it too. I don't know if I made up.
I love the way Garen brings things onto the screen, like bouncing in like a little bunny.
It's like a puppy who drags his toy onto the carpet to play with.
That's the
first time
getting
to see the screen.
What just happened? It got tinier.
Yeah, I don't know why it's doing that. It's not going to get any bigger than that.
You wanted to get big. Well, just rub it a little bit more.
Now, are those chips or
are those
petals?
Those are tortilla chips.
Oh, so they did do what you were saying. I thought those were flower petals.
And she says, I love you. And then there's that.
And then there's a bowl of chips. And he goes, yeah.
And then there's the bathtub.
Is it just a sink?
That looks more like a sink.
No,
that is a tub.
It's a tub.
And is that just normal nacho cheese? From a distance, it looks like it's got a reddish hue.
I think that's the screen. Like, I remember when I watched it, it was more normal, like 7-Eleven nacho cheese color.
Yeah, that's a tub. I see it now.
Yeah.
That's a huge bathroom.
That is, is this a Marie Antoinette moment? Is that what we're seeing?
It does feel like let them eat nachos. We have a lot of evidence that the rich are too rich.
Yeah.
And there's too many people who are suffering.
Well, the good news is we're all going to get a $5,000 check.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, they're going to send everybody $5,000. Basically, as all the pundits are saying, to shut but basically buying everybody's silence on. You know, right. But they did great things. They gave us $5,000. Well, see, the government, they're saving money, and then they're giving it to us. So it's cool that he's a dictator now.
Yeah. There's no logic to it, because they accused Biden of creating inflation by giving people money.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he's an idiot, and everybody around him is an idiot.
He also put his name on the stimulus checks during COVID, remember? Yes. So it's the same thing. It's the same trick. Yeah. These fucking morons will get the money and go, he's great.
He's great.
And they don't fucking think any more deeply about it.
I mean, let's be clear. I accept the money when it shows up.
Well, that's going to change everything.
Thank you, Tony. Yes. Maybe Bizarre Albums comes back.
Yeah. That's what I've been waiting on.
You got some seed money.
Yeah. Now, that's a question. Has Donald Trump ever appeared on a record?
He must have.
He must yes.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
Yes.
What do you got?
Okay.
And here's a great answer for you. Regis Philbin Christmas album.
Whoa.
Oh, and what does DT do?
I think he literally just has like a quick line that he's like yells on like, and I think it's literally on Rudolph.
Wow.
It's been too long. Let's I can't be clear, remember by the specifics.
He would hate Rudolph because he's different.
Absolutely.
He would hate him.
But I think you can find a performance on Letterman on YouTube.
Oh, wow.
And Trump actually comes out and
does it.
Yeah.
That's back when he was just kind of a character in New York.
Yeah.
That was hated by most.
Yeah. But, before he was a serious pug guy.
He was hated, but people loved laughing at him. And like Stern and Letterman, they loved bringing him on to just kind of laugh at how fucking insane he was and ridiculous he was.
Yeah,
that's our president.
That's a guy running our country. We're very happy, and good for him. He went around a couple of laps at the Daytona 500. People on the nut job right wing are saying your president, meaning Joe Biden, to you. Your president couldn't ride a bike. My guy just was at the Daytona 500. He sat in the back of a fucking car. He did nothing. He didn't even drive it. How is that an argument, you moron?
You think he knows how to drive?
No, because I don't think he's ever done it.
We've talked about that. Like, has he ever driven a car? Yeah. And he must have, right?
But if not, like, if he doesn't know how to do it, that's he never did it.
He grew up in New York. He didn't really need it.
Right.
But it is funny to think about that kind of thing. You know, there's like other stuff like that. Like, I forget the one I was thinking of. Like, did he, like, has he ridden a bicycle? You know, like, to go back to the Biden thing. Like, I don't know that he's ridden a bicycle.
I'm going
to
say no.
Well, but when he was, so I watched something that was, like, about his story. And he was, like, when he was in, not high school, like, preparatory school.
Well, he went to, like, a military academy.
He went to a military academy.
Why he thinks he's, like, a war hero or something. Yeah.
Which obviously that's BS, but from what I read, he actually was actually a pretty good student there. Like because of the discipline, because he wanted to live up to whatever I think he was athletic then.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think he was before he gained weight and led this horrible lifestyle.
He's a horrible golfer.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But he probably golfs better than me.
But he was a tall, strapping young man. I think.
Handsome.
But I don't know about
nice.
I don't know if he rode a bike. And the other thing is like
might have rode a horse.
He grew up in Queens, right? So Queens is kind of suburban. Parts of Queens, at least, are more suburban than New York City, like Manhattan is. So it's possible he rode his bike around as a little kid.
Right. Maybe a Razor scooter.
Maybe.
Nah.
I saw a picture of Barron driving. He sits in the back seat. He's very tall.
Apparently,
behind that.
Former presidents can't drive on public roads or go anywhere alone.
They're not allowed to anymore.
Since Obama. 1958.
So if Obama right now said, I'm going to zip over to Target,
nope.
He cannot drive his own car over there.
Even former presidents can't. Wow. That's
because for the rest of your life, you have Secret Service with you.
Yeah.
That's got to get annoying.
That
kind of
sucks, actually.
Yeah.
Right? Like, do they live with you?
I believe so.
Really?
I honestly do think that's...
Just want to go to an adult theater?
Yeah.
You don't get to anymore. Or they go with you?
A porno theater?
Two in the morning, I want to get a little something.
They shut it down and they say, come this way, sir.
I think it's possible to like be all out, maybe. Like say, I don't want any protection for the rest of my life. You might be able to do that. But otherwise, I think it's no.
Interesting.
But also, I may not be right about that because you also have like you've seen National Secrets. If you get kidnapped,
That's good call.
So
that's a good call.
Yeah.
You might show them how to put it into drive.
It would be a disaster if a former president had a bunch of classified documents and just like put them in his bathtub or something.
Right.
What the fuck would that be like?
Yeah. Biden.
Some people put documents in a bathtub, other put nacho cheese.
That's right.
That's what rich people do.
The full spectrum of life on Earth.
Good heavens. I had lunch yesterday with a friend of the show, John Ritchie. Mm-hmm. And his husband, Glenn Scarpelli, you know, who was on One Day at a Time, and who also had an album when he was Glenn is, as I said, he's John Ritchie's husband.
Yeah.
He was gay from day one, but he would be on the cover of 16 Magazine and Tiger Beat, win a dream date with Glenn.
Right.
And Glenn would have to go on dates with people and you know, the whole time knowing that the woman doesn't have a shot.
Yeah.
But he put out an album and he even jokes about this. The last track on the album, again, he is a teen actor who was great. He was on a great personality on talk shows and game shows and stuff. The last track is an instrumental. Why?
Is he playing one of the instruments?
No! Oh, why would that be?
That is so funny.
I think I covered an album that did the same thing, and I remember being baffled by that. I can't remember who it is, so great addition to the story. But, yeah.
That feels like we need to fill this out.
Yes.
Just throw that out. You know, we don't have
another. You can't find one more track for Glenn to sing on?
He's done. He's like,
Glenn's out.
Did my time in this studio, and you got me for 8 hours, and whatever you got for me is what you got for me.
What era was this that this came out?
The 80s.
80s.
Whenever, you know, maybe late 70s, early 80s, when
records were like, they could be short a lot of the time. They were, just leave a song
off. Just eight tracks or whatever. He, you know, Glenn was one of the stars of One Day at a Time. He joined the cast, and when Mackenzie Phillips left, although he and Mackenzie Phillips are now best friends, the interesting thing is he is part of that Norman Lear world. So, like, he knows everybody, and he'll tell stories, and not in the name-droppy way, but anyway, Valerie and I, blah, 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 Valerie Bertinelli, you know, they just went and did something a week ago.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and he's just such a humble, down-to-earth guy, a really nice guy. Glenn Scarpelli.
That's a good name, too.
Isn't that a nice name?
Yeah. And that you mentioned Norman Lear, and I have to throw this out. It's barely a story, so I'm going to keep that as a trend today. but I got to go to Norman Lear's office a couple years ago.
Yes.
He was there working, and I had gotten hired to it's crazy because now they're both gone. I was hired to record a podcast for Gilbert Gottfried, and he was in New York, and they would do it like through Skype back then.
Yeah,
and one day I got the call. I was like, "Can you go to Norman Lear's office?"
Great.
And that was he was very nice old man.
Was you wearing that hat?
Of course. Yeah.
Great.
Didn't get to like actually talk to him too much, but he seemed very pleasant.
Awesome.
Yeah. That was a fun. Yeah, I got to record two shows, I think, for that. And the other time, it's one of my favorite stories. This one actually is kind of a story.
Okay.
So, I got to go to Jamie Farr's house.
Yes.
And record for Gilbert also. And again, he was, I forget how old he was at the time, well into his 80s. But like very nice, really like with it, like didn't seem, you know, out of it or anything. And couldn't have been nicer. And, I had his phone number beforehand just in case there were any sort of issues or anything. So whenever that happens, I would just save the number in my phone. So I still have Jamie Farr's phone number if anybody wants it.
If we were a morning zoo, we would right now be calling Jamie Farr.
So anyway, I go there, record the show. It was out in
Granada Hills.
Thousand Oaks or something like that. I forget.
Westlake Village.
Woodland Hills.
Where are the Kardashians?
Calabasas.
Yes. Yeah, sorry. That's what it was. Calabasas. Yeah. Of all places, that's the one I should have remembered. So it was, you know, a little bit of a drive for me to get out there and then do the thing. I leave. You know, I'd sent the file off to their producer. Figured that was kind of the end of it. I don't remember if it was 2 days or 3 days later. I mean, morning, kind of just like around the house doing whatever, and my phone rings. I look down and it says Jamie Farr. And I'm like, why is he calling? I was like, did I leave something there? Yeah. Why would he possibly be calling me? Answer, Tony, Jamie Farr here. How you doing? I'm like, good. How you doing? He's like, look, I just wanted to call and make sure that you got home okay the other day.
What the? Wow.
Days later.
2 days later. let's cross this off the list.
I know.
Wonder if that kid ever made it home. You know what, honey? Give him a call. Awesome.
Yeah. I just love that. That it was multiple days. I wish I had had the balls to be like, man, I have been driving around your neighborhood.
Look out your window, Jamie. No, I didn't. That's awesome. You know, my beautiful wife, Danielle, has a Jamie Farr story, and I will not try to share, but it has something to do with a bicycle, oddly enough.
Mm.
That Jamie Farr, Danielle never learned how to ride a bike because of Jamie Farr.
Huh.
There's some. Danielle will tell that story. Did she ever? I'm sure she told on How to Survive.
It sounds
point.
Familiar, but I don't remember.
There's Glenn Scarpelli's album cover.
Nice,
looking good.
Was that 82? Garen?
83. Yeah, he's got lip gloss on, cover. So I don't know how the world didn't.
No. Oh, no. And here's the other thing, Garen. If you watch him on the old talk shows and game shows, where, again, he's great. He's not Jim J. Bullock gay, but he's gay. Mm. Like, you know he is, and great. And he's just a nice guy.
But that was back in a time where people didn't question it. You know, they didn't. I mean, this is a different era completely. But let's not forget, we're not too far past women wanting Liberace.
Right.
Like they didn't pick up the cues on Liberace.
George Michael.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. But George Michael was in heterosexual relationships in the 80s. So
he was pretending. He's living a lie.
I know. But we all bought it because he's a. You know, you want to believe.
Because we wanted to fuck him.
Great, good looking guys banging models. It's like the dream, man.
Hey, man.
Come on, man.
All right, so I'm at lunch with John Ritchie and Glenn Scarpelli.
Yeah.
And there's a celebrity sighting.
Ooh. Oh, right.
Celebrity sighting. The Tony. We waited so that Tony could play.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Where were you eating?
This will anger you. I was at Patty's.
Oh, I drove past Patty's this morning.
Oh, did you wave?
I did.
That does anger
Belknap
me.
Belknap says, hey.
It angers me that I've never... Have I ever seen a celebrity there? Maybe. Can't remember. All right. So is this person over 70 because they were at Patty's?
Yeah. I actually thought I would see my father-in-law there. I did not. He goes there on a regular basis. Well,
there's another diner he likes that I won't disclose, but...
Correct. But he goes to Patty's a lot.
Okay.
In fact, when I played this game with Danielle, she's like, did you just see my dad? That was her first guess.
Okay. So it was not Walter Koenig.
It was not. But this gentleman, yes.
He's a contemporary of Walter Koenig's.
Maybe a little senior?
What do you mean by that?
Older than?
Yes.
He's older than Walter.
Yeah. Was it Dick Van Dyke?
No.
Holy is that a good guess?
If it was Dick Van Dyke, I'd still be there holding him hostage talking about things.
Sure, fair enough.
May I ask how old Walter is, just so I'm...
I believe he's 87 or 88.
Okay.
I believe that's on the internet.
So this person's likely in their 90s.
I believe this person is in their 90s.
And this is a man?
A gentleman, yeah.
He's an actor?
He is an actor.
A comedy actor? We know him from that? Or
he's done a lot of comedy, but he's also done drama.
Okay.
But
TV mostly?
No.
Mostly film?
Mostly film.
American?
American. Now, he's done television.
Okay.
But you know him from the movies.
Director also?
I would say no. And if he has, then I don't remember what movie it was.
Is it someone that has ever done Podcastathon?
Yes.
Oh.
Paul Dooley?
It was Paul Dooley.
Wow.
It was Paul Dooley.
Dude.
Thank you. Yeah. He came to mind, was older. I knew he was older. And then... I saw him actually right around that same area years ago. It's the only time I've actually seen a celebrity driving. He turned in front of me in Toluca Lake once.
Well, yeah. I will tell you this. Paul Dooley is no longer driving.
Mm-hmm.
He had somebody assisting him. I saw him last year do the opening to Breaking Away at the New Beverly, he and Dennis Christopher, which is where I asked Dennis Christopher to do Parcastathon. So just 1 year ago, Paul Dooley did the presentation and was whip smart and was funny and was great. And in the years since then, he has gotten old.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, that's Paul Dooley. And this woman had to help him out to the car and help him into the car. I think he's 96. Is that how old he is, Garen?
We played this game at one point in the last year or two.
But he's older than we think he is.
Yeah.
A very nice man. Mm-hmm. A very nice man. I did not bother him.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have the time. Because Paul Dooley will hold you hostage and tell you how he created Electric Company.
Yeah, which I never knew until a couple of years
ago. How crazy is that?
It's very crazy. Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah. Weird. Because he wasn't on it, was he?
Not that I recall.
I don't recall him being on there.
I don't know if this is correct, because obviously when you're really little, Sesame Street is great. But I do remember liking, I preferred Electric Company.
Yeah, me too.
And I think that's just because when you get a little older, you start to feel like Sesame Street's kind of for babies, and then you're like past it. But the Electric Company was like, oh, this is, they're doing something here.
Yeah, they're doing aft. Shaft. Loved it.
Yeah.
And when that part would come on, I loved it.
Yeah. And that was great. They had those little Spider-Man segments, which were,
oh, I love the Spider-Man segments.
So fun. I mean, that's all I care
Spider-Man,
about.
Spider-Man, he does whatever a spider can.
That's right.
Spins his web any size. Catches thieves.
Just like flies.
Look out!
Here comes the Spider-Man.
Loved it. Loved it. How old is Paul Dooley, Garen?
He is turning 97 in 2 days.
Oh, wow. I could have said happy birthday to him.
Oh,
97 years old.
Damn.
So for Paul Dooley, anyway, from, let's assume he was 95 when I saw him last year. From 95 to 97, big change.
Yeah.
Big change.
I mean, that makes sense.
That's old.
Very old.
That is old.
And Dick Van Dyke is 98?
Something
How
like that.
How old is Dick Van Dyke?
Something like that. Man, those guys were born before the Depression. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
My grandmother just passed away a few months ago. It's crazy that I still had a living grandmother, and she and I actually share a birthday. She was less than a week away from turning 101.
Wow. Holy smokes!
Yeah. She got to 100 though.
And Garen, let me ask Garen, I'm going to ask Tony something. Tony, is that a good? How do I say this delicately? Is that a good life? At 100, is she living a happy life, or is she like, my knees hurt, I can't hear.
She, up until, honestly, even like the last like year or two, like she like hung on really well.
Okay.
Like it was kind of my, like if people who didn't know her met her were kind of blown away by her, like she's in her 90s.
Okay.
Yeah, so she was doing great. But yeah, just kind of then. Once it started to go, it all then kind of came fast. And
wow.
But yeah, crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy that you have a living grandmother. That's at your age.
Not anymore.
Because you're 67 years old. Had. I apologize. That gentleman's name is Tony Thaxton.
Mm-hmm.
Tony, all right, so Bizarre Albums out, but you're still over there on the Allison Rosen podcast.
Indeed.
Where you're in a backyard. Her husband gets involved from time to time.
Well, we're inside in the backyard, but yes, yeah.
But you take the photograph is outdoors.
Yes,
and that photograph is boy, that's important to them.
Oh yeah, and she takes about 45 of them, uh-huh. and then goes, "All right, one of those has to be good." That's
yeah,
what she says every week.
She
yep.
does, right?
Yep,
that's fine. I love Allison Rosen. You know,
no, she's
I,
great. Yeah.
She's not been here in a while. Maybe
no,
a little,
that's true.
I'll shoot
I'm
off, a,
rub it in her face.
Yeah, you tell her you've been back.
Yeah.
In fact, I told you 6 months ago we got to get you back on the show. It's been forever, and then it took that long to get you back on the show.
To be fair, I don't think it was. I think it was only December. I think it was when we saw you at Flappers.
It was just then.
Yeah, we were there for Oliver's first stand-up.
You saw the first time.
Which is, I know everybody says it, but I'll say it to the listener because I was also there. He killed it.
Thank you.
Like, and I'm not just being nice. And yeah, he blew us away. Couldn't believe how good it was.
Very nice. I will. I will share that with him, and he will be genuinely moved by it. He's. In fact, Vince Moranto texted, a friend of the show, Vince Moranto, texted me that he was listening to the episode with Noises Soprano, and he just kept rewinding it, and he said, please tell Oliver, this is as funny as any comic in a green room. And I agree with that. It was so ridiculously stupid and funny.
I have a question, just because I'm going to keep asking this until the answer is yes. Is he going to do any, like, open mics? Where it's like just regular open mic.
Here's what we're up against at the moment. He's got his play at school.
Oh, yeah.
And I think once that play ends, I'm going to revisit the idea of, hey, if you want me to take you to the bookstore and do some sets, I'm happy to do that.
Yeah.
And he might be more open to it. But right now he's all.
Yeah, it makes sense.
He's all into the play.
I was kind of imagining like once he's done with high school, he's going to have the summer, he's going to be doing whatever he's doing. But he'll have a much more open schedule, I assume, to go out and do that kind of thing if he wants to.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll find out.
He's done two now?
He's done two, and the second time was even better than the first time.
Yeah, so, I'm a few weeks behind on episodes, but I was just hearing you guys talk about the second one, so I didn't know if another one had happened.
No, I am at Flappers on March 15th.
Okay.
I am there. I cannot speak if I'll be doing a set on Oliver's show or not.
Right.
But he's
going to probably bump up to the big room.
You know what? He's over there. Jay sees him, brings him over. Good for him. Or he shows up and he's like, hey, Dad, I'm going to go do Jimmy Dore's show. I really like what he's saying in there.
Couldn't turn down the spot.
I he's got some great ideas. Some pundit was talking on Skylark recently, saying that.
Explain to Tony what the Skylark.
Oh, I'm calling Blue Sky Skylark now. Skylark now, and I really want it to catch on.
I think it will. That's a fun name.
But he listed it and again. I only say this because it's so bizarre to me that at the end of the day, Jimmy Dore is a jackass comedian. Mm-hmm. So it's weird when a political pundit will say. Right-wing comedy is shit. And I'm talking about people like Joe Rogan, so-and-so, Jimmy Dore. But I was like, that's craziness that guy knows that guy.
Group, yeah.
And
but that's all good for his brand. And
yes,
for
it is.
It's good for business when he gets lumped in with those guys.
Yeah.
By the way, I just heard something. Maybe in the grand scheme of things, it's a pinch of salt of optimism in this dark, dark world that the number one podcast in the world is no longer Joe Rogan. These three brothers who are liberal and talk about how Trump is terrible bumped him out of the top spot, at least temporarily.
Wow. It's got three names.
Midas Touch podcast or something. Yeah, their last name is something like Midas or I don't know. I didn't look that deeply into it, but
yeah, I saw that was a news item on CNN.
Did you do the same thing I did when you went, I've literally never heard of this before, and it's the biggest podcast?
Well, it's the same as that one, Call Me Daddy. I had never heard of that, and she sold it to SiriusXM for like $140 million or something, some banana time
that
money.
That one I had heard of. That one had been around a little longer. I don't even know how long this one's been around, but
well, this one I've never heard
of. Yeah,
the other one. I don't think I heard of it either until Kamala Harris went on it.
And then
because it's not for me.
Right.
I also hate podcasts.
Yeah, exactly. This is nothing for you there. And you love Trump, so you don't want to listen to a bunch of guys rag on him.
Thank you. I certainly don't want to hear two chirping broads talk about it.
But there also is apparently a very successful, popular live streamer who on Twitch who's sort of become this like left-wing
darling.
Yeah, like people are saying, could this guy be the left's Joe Rogan?
It sounds like these brothers are.
Yeah, or maybe, I mean, I don't know. I think it's going to take a village.
You think they can share the mantle? Yeah. Garen, did you look at Call Me Daddy? Did it sell for $140 million?
Oh, let me check. I was looking about the Midas Touch thing.
What do you got?
It was number one. It did beat Joe Rogan.
And is it called the Midas Touch?
It is called the Midas Touch.
And what are the brothers' names? Not their first name. I don't give a fuck with their first name.
It's Joe, Steve, and Ron.
That's a good question. Where is their name? I actually think this website I'm reading might be...
Here, you look for the other thing. I'll find
the
their
wrong
name.
Side of things.
But here's a question.
Bench, Brett, and Jordan Micellis. Micellis? Micellis.
How does what... I know... And I say this about Never Not Funny, too. When somebody... Hey, I just started listening to you this year. Why? How did you find us? Yeah. But like this particular podcast that we've never heard, how does somebody find it? Like, how does it become popular enough where it gets in the algorithm?
I don't know.
And then you go, oh, I'm going to listen to that. And then all of a sudden, just like Serial, it's humongous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It would be interesting to talk to one of those guys and find out.
Get one of the brothers on.
Their path was.
The brothers Karamazov.
But they, you know what? Reading a little bit about them, like one of them was like an agent. They had backgrounds that were, it was like, okay, these guys were like successful in other fields somehow. I forget all the details of it, except one of them's like a graphic designer.
Well, here's what's going to happen. These guys, they're hot for the moment, but if they're smart, they sell it immediately to somebody and they make $140 million. Mm. And then in 6 months, nobody listens to them ever again. Yeah, but you got your money.
I would like them to hang around long enough to have an effect on the next election, if there's going to be one.
And I say this as a comedian. You know that. Yeah. This is a common show. I say this as a comedian. Do you think the three brothers can murder Trump? Do you think maybe that's what, so they could do the podcast and then they do the episode where they air the murder.
Yeah.
And then they can go away.
So, but there already is a podcast called My Favorite Murder, Jimmy.
Well, they can cover it as well.
This would be the final episode of that show.
There you go.
By the way, this would be a lot of people's favorite murder.
It just occurred to me that a lot of people say that conservative folks aren't good at being funny
yes.
as comedians. but liberal folks aren't good at doing whatever Rush Limbaugh, whatever you call that. Like, because there was Air America, and then that died.
You're right.
Like yeah. frothing people up with bullshit. Right.
Well, Rachel Maddow is the closest thing to that.
But she never hit. She's never hit Limbaugh level.
No, it, I agreed.
If you have like personal ethics and standards, it's harder to do what those people do.
Right.
Like, you have to. If you care about being truthful, I think it's hard. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that's the problem, and that's why the kind of Joe Rogan phenomenon is what it is. It's like he wasn't always that way. But
no, he was number seven on a call sheet.
Yeah. But also, I don't think politically he was ever really that way right. for a while, for like young in his younger days. Maybe I'm wrong, but
he might have been apolitical, frankly.
Yeah. He might still be apolitical, yeah. honestly.
He's still right.
Yeah. He's sort of proudly like, I don't know.
Proudly ignorant.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of that, yeah, you know who went golfing with Trump this past weekend? Tiger Woods.
Oh.
So I get another rich guy where yeah. it doesn't affect my life. So I'm going to go mm-hmm. like, what the fuck do those two have to talk about? I guess money, just money.
Yeah.
He hates you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're black. He doesn't like you.
Four. The thing that we don't want to admit, though, is that Trump, like based on everything we've seen and heard, he is kind of fun to be around. Like people like him.
Dude,
they like being around him.
He did a speech yesterday where he took way too long to describe his plane landing.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to admit, he was repetitive because he's an old man who repeats himself.
Right, sure.
But, you know, and he does this shit where he goes, you know, I talk to the pilots and they say, sir. And all that shit. But he's talking about the lights being off. And then he goes, and then the pilots, and these are good-looking guys. These are Tom Cruise-looking guys. And I love Tom Cruise. I'm going to say this. These guys are better looking than Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
And so, like, he's doing this, like, you know what? This is kind of a stand-up bit.
Yeah.
And it's not that bad.
Yeah.
But then, of course, he's a monster.
Mm-hmm.
Then it ends with him saying, and then I landed, and then I, it's known as a dictator. All right, see you guys tomorrow.
Yeah.
But to your point, yes.
Yeah, it's like, I'm sure, and not that this is the reason why Tiger Woods is doing that, but it's not like you're not going to suffer through that experience. It's going to be entertaining on some level.
I think Tiger Woods does it, and I'll tell you why. And it's three words. He's an asshole.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods is also an asshole.
Right. I mean, didn't he?
A rich asshole.
What did he do? He threw a golf club at a car because he was mad at his wife or something?
I forget the exact thing. He had a lot of issues. Like he was addicted to sex. He was abusing drugs and
you gotta, and drinking you gotta erase your message. This is huge. Remember when he said that to the woman? Yeah, he's just a dickhead. He's a rich dickhead.
Yeah.
But
he's a fucked up dude too. Like
he is fucked up. Well, his parents were, in my opinion, monsters.
Yeah, they've sort of created him.
Yeah.
Like I don't think had a normal childhood. So.
You don't call a child Tiger.
That's the real. That's where the troubles begin.
That's the real problems. Tony Thaxton is here. Tony, we call him Tony the Tiger.
That's right.
It's not. You know, it's good to see you, Tony. And I tell you why. It's just we see you more and more now without the drums, and I think that's the best thing.
Yeah.
Well, How did you allow Calver to take that job over from you? You allowed it.
I allowed it. Look,
you tour the country as a drummer. He's a magician's child.
I understand. And look, am I way more comfortable playing drums? Oh yeah,
yeah.
But with what had gone on, because there was when the year Podcastathon got canceled, I was not going to be able to do that year.
You were going to be on tour with your touring signed band.
Yes, and. So obviously that didn't happen. And so then when Podcastathon finally happens again, Eric was invited to be a part of the band. And he said he was going to play percussion and stuff. And I was like, that seems kind of unnecessary. And I really don't like playing without bass. And I am by no means a bass player, but I enjoy playing bass and trying to get better at it. And I was playing a lot more during COVID and all that. And so it's like, you know what? Knowing that we're just doing little snippets of songs and stuff, it's like, I think I could probably handle this. And so I volunteered to play bass.
Okay. That was nice of you.
I'm a nice guy.
I know you are. I know you are. But again, I got this magician's kid over there.
We also had, didn't we have Steph lined up to play bass?
We had Steph lined, then she politely stepped aside.
Yeah.
We were supposed to do this at the El Portel.
Right.
Mm. Which again was the premise of okay, now we're back from the lockdown. We're at this theater. We have more room, so let's fill out the band.
Yeah.
Let's get Steph on bass, and then yes, Eric. I didn't feel comfortable. Like, hey, will you fill in for Tony? Well, now Tony's back. Bye bye.
No, I totally get now, that.
But what I thought would happen, Tony, you'd be up there with your trap set, and Wayne would be on the grand piano that was at the theater. Steph on bass. Mike Henry noodling on the guitar. Ken Robinson blowing that sax, and Eric Kelver on a fucking woodblock. That's what I thought was going to happen. Maybe a tambourine from time to time.
Yeah.
And oh, good. Okay, so Eric, you happy, Eric? Tell Daddy. That's what I would say. And the next thing I know, I look over. You're playing a Paul McCartney Hohner bass.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this guy's Hoffner. Thank you. And he's on the hi-hat.
Yeah. I got to say, I don't even know if you know this, but there was a brief moment that I did play drums at
Park. You played with David Foster for a little bit. Yeah,
for just a second. Yeah.
And then Eric pushed you off the side and he played.
Well, I didn't know he was going to play again.
Yeah.
Because Jeff Babko had messaged me the night before and told me. So I knew about all that before you guys did.
Yeah.
So conspiracy. He asked me to play it with them. And so that's why. Yeah. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That was a great moment. I think it's one of the highlights of all the Parkcast-a-thons.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Here comes David Foster. And it's one of those things where, you know, we have our schedule, and the schedule is each guest has 15 minutes. Maybe they can go to 18 or 19, and then I got to immediately bring the next guest out because we don't want to get too far behind. So Babko comes out. He does his bit, which is long. And then here comes David Foster, where I now want to spend an hour with David Foster and push everybody back, but I can't do that. So it's got to be rat-a-tat fast. But the reality is we could have done a sing-along with David Foster and he would have playing on that fucking, it would have been awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You playing along on that bass of yours, like Peter Cetera.
Well, that's what killed me too, is we just, you know, we rehearsed and we talked about what songs we're going to play. And, you know, I said up front, I'm like, I'm not great at bass. I can figure stuff out, and I think I'll be passable, you know. And there was a few songs that like Wayne had mentioned, and I was like, yeah, that one I'm not so good at, like this style and blah 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 blah. And so I was like, I prefer to not do these ones and give the list. And then so of course then the day comes and Wayne's like, let's do blah blah blah. Those are the first ones he goes to every time. And Wayne, I love Wayne. He's hilarious, and that's always fun. But I'm convinced that Wayne, even after all these years, has no clue who I am if he sees me out of podcast. Because I did something. So I also play with Paul Rust's band, Don't Stop or We'll Die.
Yeah.
We did something at Largo a few months back, and Wayne was there.
Yes.
And he comes in and like says hi to everybody. I'm like, hey, Wayne. And he's like, hey. And just like walked away. And I was like,
I
don't think
he
had
any Wayne
multiple times.
Yeah. Well, I thought you sounded great on the bass. I mean, that's sincerely. I thought you guys all sounded terrific. And I just appreciate that you are willing to donate your time.
I love it. It's always a highlight of
it is, right?
Year. Yeah. Yeah.
It's fun. I'd enjoy it. And again, we're not doing one here in 2025. We may do something in 2026 for our 20th anniversary.
Nice.
But I talked to Wayne about this. We're going no bass. Also, you look over, Tony's on a tuba. Tuba, it's the low end.
I mean, as long as Calver's there, we're fine.
Yeah. You know? I don't know how to shake Calver, to be honest with you. Mm. I think you guys are going to have to figure that out.
Yeah.
Drum off.
Yeah. Wow. That's up to you guys.
Let's start pulling some. How many gold records do you have?
I'm going to say zero.
Yeah.
You're on tour this summer, right? Or are you just
you're
going to
be at Summerfest.
Summerfest.
Yeah, we are going to be doing that, I believe. I know almost nothing about it. So if you want more details other than that,
okay.
I got nothing.
Gotcha. Oh, so that's not part of a run of shows you're doing.
I think there's like a few festivals we're going to do here and there.
Yeah.
And yeah, just some random shows, and then probably more stuff in the fall, more likely, because it's kind of announced, but not really. We have a new record.
Hey,
oh,
hey.
Fun!
Yeah. Awesome. First time in first one with me in over a decade, but then first one for the band in almost a decade.
Wow, that's great!
Is it recorded already? Or are you?
Yeah, it's mostly done. I actually have to go to Chicago in about a week or so, and we're kind of just like getting together to kind of listen to everything and make sure we're happy with where everything is. So it's pretty much done, but there might be a few little tweaks here and there. But yeah,
nice.
So it'll probably be fall sometime that'll come out.
I will tell you, I heard a snippet. Calver plays on a couple tracks.
What?
And he sent me, he goes, yeah, he's pushing Tony out of his own band.
I can't believe this guy.
I know.
Ridiculous.
Again, he's a magician's son, so he knows how he works with that magic.
Yeah, it's true. It's a sleight of hand.
And by the way, just to be very clear, Eric Calver and his dad are great guys.
No, they're
this is all
so
ball
nice.
Busting.
Yes.
They listen to the show. It's like when we busted dogs' balls on lunch. Friends of the show, Ted Sullivan, we love these people, and just having fun.
Yeah.
And if I saw them on the street, I would probably cross the street so I don't interact with them. Because I don't want to be accused of not being fun.
It was weird. I had met Eric Calvert. I always want to say Calvert. Calver years ago. It turned out he had gone to college with my ex-wife.
Oh.
And like they knew each other. And it was a Don't Stop or We'll Die show. And like walked backstage. And Eric had done a show. It was at the Sunset UCB.
Mm-hmm.
And he had played with something that was happening before our show. And then, yeah, she was there, and they walked back.
That's crazy.
It's
banana times.
Weird little,
His father, Bruce, who is, as I said, a magician, I believe is going through some health issues. So I hope that I hope that he's on the other side of that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But yeah, he was very nice. I got to meet him that day.
He's such a nice guy. Yeah. And when he comes back, hopefully his health will allow him to come and do the Magic Castle.
Yeah,
and,
I'd
like to go see that.
Yeah, me too.
Because he's a good guy, and he's got a nice sense of humor, and... that was another type of podcast-a-thon. Yet you were so loaded that I couldn't bring Bruce Calver up to do like a magic trick and let him.
But I remember
show his personality,
like because I was facing the direction where he was sitting behind the band, and like just seeing him over there laughing and enjoying it. Like he loved every time you busted Eric's balls. So like, he was probably enjoying that more than anybody.
Well, again, because the kid's a fucking monster. Comes in and steals somebody's job. It's unfair. Garen, this is not going to refill itself. Oh. Will you please go get me another one?
Wait a minute.
There's no time to question. There's no time to think. His hummingbird energy is starting to sink. His questionable sanity stands at the brink. Jimmy requires a monster drink.
Socks.
Spooky bones. You think he's playing real bones there?
I don't know what that is.
Sounds like he's playing a
xylophone.
I know the sound of
a rib cage, right?
Yeah. Tony's an expert in the percussion.
Yeah, you know percussion.
That's right, can identify it. Definitely. Now here's something, speaking of percussion, I was gonna say this before, I finally watched that.
Thank you.
Because you mentioned it, Jimmy.
Why would I shake this? Why would that be the first thing I do?
A terrible idea.
Fucking idiot.
It is carbonated, right?
Yeah. I'm stupid.
Do you want to grab a different one?
Yeah. I'm the dumbest alive. I did it on purpose because I didn't want the orange. I'm kidding. You finally watched what?
I finally watched the documentary about the cowbell sketch on SNL.
I watched that recently too.
Which is actually great. It's a really
It starts out a little precious.
Well, I was explaining it to Elise, who didn't watch it. I was like, I don't know why they needed to tell us the history of cowbells. Like, they started out as actual bells on cows' necks. I'm like, well, that doesn't matter. You could have just made this 35 minutes instead of 45 minutes.
But let's agree, Dave Grohl, great actor.
But the big reveal, the big headline of that whole thing was that in their first draft of that sketch, it was a woodblock, not a cowbell. And there's some debate about whether on the actual Blue Oyster Cult song, whether that's a woodblock.
It doesn't sound like a woodblock to me.
No, it does not.
I've never questioned it.
But even BOC are questioning what was played.
Yeah, one of the producers insisted it was a
woodblock. That guy seems to think he played on every fucking album for me.
He's so full of shit.
Yeah,
that's me, and I did that, and I was the only guy.
It was my idea. There was no argument. I came in and said, we're doing this, and I played it, and we recorded it, and it was perfect.
Not one person agrees with him, but then he still continues to say it.
But then he hugs it out with the guy from the band because life's too short, I guess. I don't know. Like,
Blue Oyster Cult's a band that I like, and I always think I should do a deeper dive because other than those hits, which I do like, I've heard them enough in my lifetime.
Yeah.
What even are other hits? I don't know if I even know.
Burning? Is that what it's called? I'm Burning.
I'm Burning. Oh, I'm Burning for You. Right, okay. And then you got, of course, Don't Fear the Reaper. And then what's the third big one? Shit.
That's,
then there's one with a person's name. Is it Bela Lugosi's Dead? No, that's somebody else.
That's yeah.
No, Joan Crawford. What's their other? Are you looking up the Blue Oyster Cult hits, best ofs?
Yeah, hold on.
What do you got? Rattling off, Garen.
Betty Davis eyes. That's what.
Nope, it's not that.
No, it's
nope.
It, yeah.
I can tell you now, it's not that. I know.
Oh, it's Buddy Holly.
Yes.
Nope.
Ooh, ooh, no. I look just like Buddy Holly. Right. Blue Oyster Cult.
I'd like to hear them do that.
Why is it hard to say Blue Oyster Cult?
It's tough, isn't it?
The ooh and the oy.
Blue Oyster. Blue Oyster. Blue Oyster Coat.
I guess that's why they call themselves
coat.
BOC.
Yeah. BOC. By the way, she's the dumbest person in Congress, according to somebody else.
BOC?
Joan Crawford is.
It is Joan Crawford.
Yeah. Huh. They also have one called Godzilla.
Oh, that was their other big hit.
Yeah.
Godzilla. They have a lot of hits, actually.
All right. Rattle them off.
So, from the beginning, 1972, City's on Flame with Rock and Roll.
That's actually a pretty good song.
I'm going to skip the ones that don't have actual pages because then they aren't anything. Born to be Wild.
Okay.
Maybe a cover.
Maybe. 1976, Don't Fear the Reaper.
All right. Now, that one we've all heard minimum 4,000 times in our lifetime.
Sure.
This Ain't the Summer of Love.
I don't know that one.
Godzilla.
Godzilla is very popular around Halloween. They think it's a Halloween song because it mentions a monster.
We Got to Get Out of This Place.
They do a cover of the Animal song.
Right. In the... That charted at number 92 on the...
Broke the top 100.
U.S. Cash Box?
Okay.
I don't know what that is.
So yeah, that's like an old...
It's not Billboard.
Chart. Yeah.
Burning for You.
All right.
Roadhouse Blues.
Uh-huh.
Take Me Away.
Yeah.
Shooting Shark. Mm-hmm. Dancing in the Ruins.
Take me away. Dancing in the Ruins is not bad.
It's not bad.
But I think I should do a dive into them because I think that if I want to hear like classic rock sound, they certainly tick those boxes. Mm.
It tickled me how Will Ferrell was tickled by his own stupid choice in the script because also I didn't realize he wrote that. But
I was fascinated to hear that.
Yeah, that was surprising to me. But at the beginning, the narration just says, after a series of devastating failures, yeah. He was like, what does that mean? Like him watching, he was just like, that's so stupid. That means nothing.
I did love they addressed the fact that, because Pat Francis and I used to get infuriated that they
mixed up the guys.
They used Bruce Dickinson.
Oh, yeah.
No, Bruce Dickinson is the guy that did the re-release.
Right.
And so like it's
you're
not
the only
it's not
two
him.
People on earth the other than the actual Bruce Dickinson and the other producers, you two are the only people who even knew that was
yeah.
I thought they were like, I was like, wait, you mean the guy from Iron Maiden?
That's yeah, that's what I always
that's what's also confusing about it.
Yeah.
It was different Bruce Dickinson.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah.
I assume you guys talked about this, which did the SNL 50.
Sure. What do you want to say, Tony?
I had fun watching it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of bad, right?
Oh, I don't think so.
I thought there was fun stuff to it.
I enjoyed it.
I don't. It just like I don't know. There was something about the way they did it. I wasn't expecting it to be so many like new sketches with, and it's like why is Glenn Close in this sketch? Why was Scarlett Johansson in two sketches and Dana Carvey was not on
Dana
the
Carvey
show?
Dana Carvey was very sick.
He had the flu.
Oh, okay. I had not
Plus,
heard
he also
that.
Had done plenty of sketches.
True, yes. But yeah. I think of him as, yes. I didn't know the sick part, but I think of him as Mr. SNL.
It was crazy. Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy that he wasn't there. Like, he probably has more catchphrases. Him and Mike Myers might have the most catchphrases of any cast member in the history of the show. But yeah, it sucked that he wasn't there. Here's my argument.
I was okay with him not being there.
We did get a fair amount of
plenty of Dana, and I love him. I'm not.
Yeah, but here's my. If you really followed the show and you watched the 40th, I feel like the 40th special was for our age, roughly. Yeah.
Okay,
and then this one. What focused more on the last 25 years because they had already sort of done the special about the first 25 years and well, first 35 years really. But I feel like that's fair. Like they covered that stuff. Yes, it would have been fun to see Wild and Crazy Guys or, you know, Dan Aykroyd doing anything. But we did get that 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I know that's not recent.
But to me, and I said this on the last episode, if it's the 50th anniversary, that's a... What did my mouth just do? Did you hear that? I turned it a Carol Channing doing Daffy Duck again. If it's the 50th, I think that's the big one.
Yeah.
And you should... I get your point, but...
Maybe they should have held off when they did the 40th, not
I guess
do those things.
Maybe that's... Yes.
The 40th almost felt like a 50th, and then this felt
Take
like
it off.
An addendum to that. Oh, you have to try that on later, too.
Yeah, we got to do that.
Nice and sweaty.
But it's very possible that when they did the 40th, they weren't sure they were going to get to the 50th.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
You mean because of Trump in 2016?
Oh, yeah. That's because, well...
I will, to your point, Tony, I will say, and we said this on Monday, do I need to see Bad Bunny in two sketches?
Right.
Why do I need to see Bad Bunny at all?
Yeah. Oh.
When Billy Crystal's sitting right there. Or, and look, maybe I said this on Monday. I think this guy's a fucking nut job. Rob Schneider's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Making copies.
Just say, making copies. Sit down, Rob. Do that. I don't need Bad Bunny.
Yeah.
Well, here's
I didn't even realize that was Bad Bunny.
Oh.
I'm so out of the loop on any. I've become an old man these days. I know nothing
anymore. So wait, so you didn't watch the concert on Friday?
I saw a few minutes of it.
Go back and watch that. That's really good. Bad Bunny also performs at that. Uh-huh. You can fast forward through it. But yeah, it's almost like they just had people for the weekend and they're like, well, let's just use them as much as we can.
Yeah, and like I get that too, like, because so much of it was sloppy too, and like I get that they probably didn't get to rehearse because it's probably impossible to get all those people together.
Yeah. It was a crazy, when you think about what they did and like how many sketches they did, how many people they got in and out of there, how many people had to have a dressing room, had to have hair and makeup, had to have costume. Like it's insane that they did it at all. And that it sort of, that it even came off a little bit. Like there were clunky things, I think. But the other thing I'll say about like the Bad Bunnies and this, you know, people were complaining like, why is Sabrina Carpenter so central to this? Like she's been on it once, but isn't part of the show's DNA that they're always trying to capture what's now and even what's next.
Yes, but if you're celebrating the 50th anniversary, you're celebrating the past.
Right, but they don't. I think even when they celebrate the past, they are very like Lorne Michaels. It's the show is made in his image. He is very obsessed with who's hot right now, who's famous, what's the next famous thing. I don't want to see, because like the second you stop doing that, because I'll defend him this way like a little bit. The second you stop doing that. Is that's when you start sort of being irrelevant and sort of like, well, why are we doing this anymore? If you're just sort of rehashing what you've already done.
Sure, but you could do that on the weekly basis.
Right. I know.
This should be.
But I don't think they can. I don't think they can extract that tendency from the methodology of the thing. Well, apparently,
it's very easy to do.
you could, but I'm saying they're not interested in.
Well, if you watch that the documentary about the writing, the week of creating the show, he seems like a fucking pill. It seems like you're the guy in charge of comedy.
I know.
You don't smile.
That's what was crazy about the cowboy one. You saw footage of him laughing at the table. Where I was like, I've literally never seen him laugh before. Yeah. I don't think so. That was kind of interesting.
He's also 8. Get out.
He's 80.
Yeah. You're done.
He's crazy.
You're done.
Do you think this is it? This is his last season?
I don't. I have no insight on this. I
kind of suspect.
Who could I call on my phone that would know?
I don't know.
Jamie Farr?
I sort of wondered that too, because just literally based on a stupid thing, but the fact that the end of the show, Paul McCartney plays the end.
Yeah. Which some people thought was like a nod to the Chris Farley sketch.
I thought about
which
that
is very
too.
Sweet.
I thought for sure they were going to cut to a clip of that afterwards.
I don't think it was intentional. I think it was just like, that's how Paul McCartney closes his shows out, and it's a great song or whatever. But
and again, I could have used that on the concert and not so much on this.
Well, it was a weird way to end the entire night, because the SNL doesn't end on a musical number, A, and B. It's like, if I want to be really cynical, it's like the Beatles predate SNL. They have nothing other than the one bit where he offered them $3,000 to reunite.
Yeah.
It's not really relevant to the history of SNL other than McCartney's been there, a couple times,
I guess. Has McCartney played music before?
Yes.
Or was he just a guest?
No, he's been the musical guest.
He was the musical guest the night they did that Chris Farley show sketch.
He was, okay.
Yeah. But I know Lorne loves him, but it's kind of like, this is Lorne's thing more than it's SNL's thing. You know, like, Lorne cares about the Beatles. Lorne cares about Paul McCartney.
Right, but it's been happening since season one.
I guess.
So, in a way,
some continuity there with that, yeah.
To me, it was like, when you say it's Lorne's thing, it's like, it's Lorne's thing, but we've also kind of been following it, and it makes sense if like, he's leaving, or he's gone after 50.
Right.
He gets to end with his favorite artist of all time performing. So, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know anything.
I
saw Amy Poehler at Ralph's once.
We'll call her. She'll answer it.
No, she won't.
She won't answer. She won't answer the question. She won't answer the phone.
I can call.
I wonder. Like, so I have think about this a lot for some reason. Like, the people out there who might be able to and willing to take the mantle. Like, who would? Like, one guy who I think of a lot is. Seth Meyers' producing partner, I think it's, what's that guy's name?
Mm-hmm.
Michael something. He was a producer on SNL for years and years. Maybe that guy can do it. But then you think of like Tina Fey, maybe could be like.
But does she want to do that?
I don't know if she wants
people
to.
People throw on Keenan too.
People say like, Keenan. I don't know really what sense that makes.
Bring
honestly.
Back Dick Ebersol again.
There we go. Yeah.
Michael Perfect. Shoemaker.
Michael Shoemaker.
Were
thank
any
you.
Of those people that? I guess Julie Louis-Dreyfus was there.
She was mm-hmm. there.
But were any like was Anthony Michael Hall there?
Well, Billy Crystal. Billy Crystal was
oh,
part
yeah,
of
that's
those
right.
Years.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh, from
that and era. Martin Short, for that matter.
But, yeah. but Anthony Michael Hall and Robert Downey Jr., they were actually the first year Lorne was back. That was his.
Oh, that was when they were. Okay.
That was, I think, right?
Was it?
I thought they were part of the.
I thought they were part of the.
I thought those. I thought, it was the I thought last that was year the year he came back, and it was 85, right? And he was like, we got to overhaul this whole thing. It was like. It was like maybe the is it the only time they've ever had a. Oh, no, I guess
the original
80. Yeah. yeah, after 80. But like. There hasn't really been another time where 100% of the cast was new, right? Those two times?
I think that's just, you're right.
I think, didn't Lovitz carry, I think Lovitz started like at Lovitz, the tail end.
He was that year. He was the year with Anthony Michael Hall and Robert Downey
yeah,
Jr.
Yeah, but I think he came in at like the end or something like that, and then he was the only cast member to
Piscopo
carry
What about Piscopo and
over.
Eddie Murphy
I might
as
be
well?
Wrong.
Didn't they?
They weren't
They were
there.
A little early.
Did they bleed
gone.
Over?
I think they had
They were
left.
Earlier, yeah.
Garen, give us a...
Michaels decided to return for the 1985-1986 season. The show was again recast, with Michaels borrowing Ebersol's idea to seek out established actors such as Randy Quaid and Anthony Michael Hall.
There you go.
All right.
As well as younger stars like Robert Downey Jr. and Joan Cusack.
Yeah. That was the year... That was literally the year I started watching it, like... In time, like I had
and
seen
that
reruns,
stinked.
it did. But I loved it because,
of course,
because I loved the path because that Lovitz was on. He did the pathological liar character, which I loved. Pee Wee Herman hosted an episode, which I loved. It was just weird, and yeah, it's probably I'm sure it sucks by like any other metric, but as a 10-year-old kid, I thought it was fantastic.
Again, I watched the first episode, and I watched every episode of the original casting, and then also Bill Murray, all of that. Would go to school on Monday, quoting it and reliving it and laughing again. Mm-hmm. If you watch it now, there's no fucking comedy.
I know. I did that a few years back. I'd never seen the first episode, so I was like, "Oh, check this out." I'm not sure I smiled.
I think the cold open's funny, like on paper, and like it works. Like the thing with the language lesson that's Bill, it's John Belushi.
Well,
there's
some sketches.
Yeah,
you could pick and choose, but
as an overall piece of like television, it's crazy.
What? How do we possibly talk about this at length on Monday at school?
Right.
Yeah,
not just did you see it? Yeah, it was good. All right, ring bell, class time. No, we dove deep into it,
mm-hmm.
and not going. It was awful, or no. It was all positive,
right?
Even about the sketches that, like, I never found the samurai funny, but we talked about it as if it was.
Yeah. I
even, also don't find it offensive. I
know they put that in that thing, and I was like, oh, maybe. I mean, yeah it's a white guy or whatever. It's, you know, but it's so far, it's so absurd that it's like just, I don't know.
And also, that's what sketch comedy is. You play different characters,
right? And part of the absurdity is that it's John Belushi playing a samurai, right? I don't know.
I guess I don't know. I
thought it looks
smashing watermelons to me. I don't understand why it's happening.
I had the best of John Belushi. Betamax tape, I think.
Yes.
And I thought that was funny when 10 years after it happened.
You enjoyed it.
Yeah, and it isn't, but I did, I think maybe just compared to some of the other things on that tape, I was like, oh, this is a good one.
I also don't know why they keep trotting out that black and white thing.
Yes.
With
thank you.
Lucy as the old man.
Like that was the one thing they showed from start to finish.
Yeah. I think it's because it's so fucking creepy that he's doing literally the one guy who died first is doing this whole bit about he's the last one.
I know, but they keep trotting it out.
Yeah, I know.
I don't need to see it over and over and over. I didn't like it when they aired it the first fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
It aired on I think maybe the first time I saw it. Well, it might have been on that tape also, that Betamax tape, but they did a thing in 85-ish where it was Siskel and Ebert. Do you remember this? Siskel and Ebert hosted the show, but instead of a regular episode, they just showed films from SNL from the first 10 years. And they showed that one, and then they would comment on it like it was a real movie, and they shit on some of them. They were like, that was terrible. But then they showed the, like, Martin Short and Christopher Guest synchronized swimming one.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, that was fantastic. So that was a fun way to see a lot of the stuff from different eras all in one thing. And I had recorded that off of TV and watched it a million times. But, yeah, I think they showed that one, and they were like, that wasn't comedy. They're right. It isn't.
Oh, they said it was.
I'm pretty sure that was their reaction to it. They were like, I don't know if that was supposed to be funny.
Yeah.
I guess when he's dancing at the end.
I know.
Sort
it's
of
like,
a
it's
bit.
Like that. Is that all it is? It's just all building up to
dancing on their graves.
Because I'm a dancer.
Yeah.
Whatever the fuck he says.
That struck me weird when, because I'd never seen that before.
Oh, you never saw it?
No. And I'm watching, I'm like, this is in bad taste. Like, why are you even playing? Is this someone who like, just died, like, recently on there? Something was in my mind when I was watching. I was like,
well, they mentioned Gilda, but that was a long time ago.
No, it was, I don't remember what it was. It doesn't matter, I guess. But yeah, it just felt tonally like this. This is supposed to be a celebration and all these people. It doesn't feel.
And it's the right. One. It's really the one thing that is about the original cast. Like the rest mm-hmm. of the 50th wasn't really about them.
With the exception of Lorraine. And
I guess Pete Lorraine did that one thing, sketch.
Which was great.
Bill Murray was on, did his list.
Oh, that's right. Thing. That's right.
And then Chevy Chase got to stand in the crowd.
Yeah. He's not well.
No, but I was surprised he was standing.
That might have been it. I might have been like, Chevy Chase is about to die, and here he is.
Right. Yeah.
In this sketch. Yeah. Maybe that's what it was.
Also, did you notice, I think it was Chris Kattan at the end as well?
He had a...
Chris is losing his neck.
It does seem like he's... I assume that there's a condition of some sort.
Yeah. He broke his neck.
Oh, I didn't know
while
that.
Performing oh. and had to have surgery.
My apologies for the joke.
It's like, I think they... I assume they might have fused some vertebrae.
Well, he and Lawrence even have love. That awkward hug.
That hug was
I felt bad.
Watch.
I felt bad for... Chris is not a great guy.
Yeah, and that's the word.
But I did something with him at Acme at one point. I forget what it was, but... You know what I mean?
You know who looks good, though? I'm just going to say it. I feel like he's turned into a fucking hunk.
Who?
Chris Parnell.
Yeah.
Oh, like, he lost a bunch of... Like, not that he was big, but he's thinned out and the hair looks good. Like, I'm like, who's
more,
this guy?
More salt than pepper.
But yeah.
Still works.
It kind of blew my mind.
I thought that watching the Cowbell documentary.
Yeah, I think that was when I saw him.
Because you see him and you're like, is he kind of ripped now? What's going on with Parnell?
And like, yeah, his hair was like styled kind of cool.
Yeah, he looks great.
Yeah.
God bless him.
He's always funny.
Yeah.
He's always funny.
He is.
In that kind of straight man role that he's always
cast. That voice. That voice is just
so
good.
And the voice
good.
Is so wonderful.
Yeah. It sells everything.
Yeah, yeah. Agreed. Let's agree to agree.
All right.
Is that something we can do? I'm going to do something unprecedented on this program because we're live streaming. I'm going to go to the restroom.
Okay.
Oh.
And I'm going to let you guys.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Tony used to host a show. Maybe he can help.
Yeah.
Not like this.
Well, good thing I have this bizarre album sitting here. Let's. I mean, honestly, I can keep talking about SNL for hours if you let me. So I don't know.
Did they do a real memorial thing?
They didn't. They seemed like they were going to.
The sketch
and then...
thing?
It was the Sandler song, I think, was sort of.
Didn't see that.
Oh, okay. That's kind of nice. Sandler has become the great American sentimentalist for some reason. Like, he'll just sing a song about anything and kind of make you smile and then cry at the same time.
They could have done Who We've Lost and then paid respect to those that we've lost, but then also put like Rob Schneider and Victoria, whatever her name is in there. Just
I mean, you saw the thing about the in memoriam for sketches that were
sketches
in poor taste.
Yeah, that was
funny.
Yeah.
That was a nice way of handling that.
Yeah. And I also, but that was
then immediately did. Wait, who was here? We were talking to somebody about it.
Yeah,
they should have put that criminal sketch in that at the end.
Right.
Who was that?
It was Scott.
It was Scott. It was Scott.
But I also, Elise pointed out, like, is the thing with Kristen Wiig and the tiny hands, is that somehow offensive to people?
I didn't feel very comfortable with that one.
Yeah, Elise was like, "Wow, this is wrong," and I was like, "I don't know. There's not people. There aren't. That's not a real thing. People have tiny hands, right? Or is it? I don't know."
Well.
Big foreheads, sure. Like we've all seen a big forehead. I see it in the mirror every day. I don't know. That was more weird because it was like, let's shoehorn Kardashian into this thing.
It's just some of those people. It's like, why?
Some of the things maybe didn't work as well as they could have. But that's always SNL. It's like, did they pull off the thing? Maybe not 100%. But I admire the effort.
Yeah, and like I said, some of the sloppiness that kind of added to the charm of it. I think. But yeah.
Well, I'll say this. I don't think Meryl Streep... People were like, oh my God, Meryl Streep. I don't think she was good.
No, I don't think she was good either.
Comedically, I'm with not you. Bad.
Like, also, never host... I was like, has she ever even hosted? And I looked it up. No.
Well, isn't the rumor that she and Martin Short are dating? So maybe that's why she just happened to be around.
I think it's more than a rumor at this point. It seems like they're showing up everywhere.
You watch them fuck?
I'm kidding.
How'd it go when I was going, guys?
We just kept talking about SNL, and it was fine.
I was laughing at your response. What did you say? Oh,
Jesus.
Oh, Jesus. I love that you guys collapsed when I leave the room. There's no reason why you should, but I love that it happens. Luckily, Tony was here giving that backbeat.
Yeah, he kept us on rhythm.
I went to the bathroom. You're never going to guess who was in the bathroom.
Calver?
Eric Calver.
Oh, my God. What?
He's in there.
Yeah. Dana Carvey.
That's crazy. Dana
Eric Calver's our Dana Carvey.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Listen, I'm going to give an update here on the blowout sale.
Okay.
Let's give a, you know, our sidewalk sale is going through a blowout. Things are $2.50 or $1.
Cost shipping. Part of that.
So
maybe I'll jump in on this.
Shipping is $30.
Yeah, shipping still is. Okay, so all right, there's guys, plenty of keychains and air fresheners remain. The hats are going, jar openers are gone, trading cards, plenty of those still. The sticker pack, the Pardo poster pack. Why isn't that selling for fucking $2.50? Let's go, assholes. Get your signed posters. Those were once at one point selling for $25. Now they're $2.50, and I can't get rid of the last one?
Because everybody who wants a poster got it.
All right, here's what I'm going to do. Because of the amount that we have of them, for now, it's 12:30, theoretically. It's 12:28. I believe the sale goes for another hour. Hats are $1.
What the
fuck? Hats are $1. Wow. And don't say to me, but I already bought one for $2.50. Fuck you. You got a deal too. Exactly. That's how sales work. So for right now, they're $4, but then you get 25% off.
Is there a limit?
I don't give it. No.
Not anymore. Someone wants to go in there and start a little hustle. Just buy all the hats and then you sell them.
I'm fine with that.
Or Mike Henry buys like six of them because he's going to wear them.
He goes through them really fast. Yeah.
Hey, speaking of products, we have a great new shirt over on TeePublic. Nick, and I forget his last name. I apologize, Nick. He made the, I always say, go get a Snicky Snack. Mm-hmm. And so he said, let's go to the lobby to get a Snicky Snack.
Oh, yeah.
And the image is me with a Coke Zero, the Elegance chocolate bar for season 10. Yeah. And
a bag of corn friend.
Yeah. And it's and you're, great.
It's like the thing from the old movies. Like you're marching to the lobby. Yeah. Let's go to the lobby.
Let's all go to the lobby. That and get great. A Snicky Snack.
I loved it.
And it's on TeePublic, and it's great. And I've got the purple belt. I've got the red microphone that I threw. It's a really great design. So go to TeePublic and get that. We make upwards of 25 cents for every shirt that we sell at TeePublic. So those are really just for the fans.
I believe that you're also your little caricature is holding a sign that says Garen sucks.
It does not anymore.
Oh, you took that.
It now says what? Never Not Funny either to be part of a podcast.
That I was going to say that was my one because when I saw it, I was like, I want that on a shirt. But I kind of felt like, for the first time in my life, I felt like that's too harsh on Garrett.
Well, I thought it was, too. I remember on the dartboard that has all the catchphrases, it at one point said Garrett sucks, and I told Mario to take that off because I did not. It's funny on the show. It's not funny in writing.
Out of context,
seems harsh.
It's just like,
I mean, because in reality, you're walking around, they know he sucks.
Yeah.
They don't need a
that's
shirt.
That's why it's so harsh is because the truth of it is hurtful.
Right? He does suck. All right, you know what? I'm going to write down a number so that I remember what the number was at for those hats. Now that I went to a dollar, we'll get an update at the end of the show to see if that moves some units.
Mm. Hell yeah.
I want this shit out of my life.
Mm-hmm. I get it. Hey, I feel bad. Did I I feel like I ruined
Parkastathon?
Celebrity sighting. Feel like I got it too fast.
No!
No, be proud. That was a great pull.
Well, I was proud, but I still felt like I ruined it.
All right, to that point then, here, this is celebrity sighting by proxy.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking that I had one, and I even texted my girlfriend, and I was like, didn't we see someone recently? And neither one of us can remember who, so.
All right, this is our listener, Zach, the guy that brought us the food. He's got that food.
The lasagnas and lasagna.
Yeah, yeah. So he was at a restaurant.
While you're looking that up, I forgot. Yep. I was supposed to shout out in the pre-show. We played music in the live stream for the pre-show, and we played a band called Siona Dancing. And I said, whoever can name the lead singer, I'll give you a shout out. So my name is Gannon. Pulled it. You know it too.
I know, yeah.
Is that a Bizarre album?
I actually have thought. I've Bizarre never tried single. To actually track it down.
Who's the singer? I don't know the answer.
It's Ricky Gervais. Ricky Gervais.
Oh, right.
He was in a what do you call that?
Like new wave.
New romantic.
Kinda,
right.
Yeah.
They're not bad, though, right?
It's good. Really good. I like that song. Yeah.
That's just more proof, though. He didn't know what he was doing. He's trying to find himself.
Yep.
And the Lord. All right, here we go. So Zach, they went to Craig's in West Hollywood. Have you ever been to Craig's?
Never heard of it.
He said it's the best chicken parm in the world.
Okay.
Well. And it's great for, and he said, and he goes, and I apologize for using this phrase, it's great for people watching and celebrity sightings.
Okay.
Okay.
So he had a triple. He had a triple celeb sighting.
Connected? Was it the Jonas Brothers?
No, did they?
Was it Hanson?
It was Hanson.
Three Stooges.
I don't know how to do it. I don't know because all three Two can be
lumped together.
Could be, but not really. So, and then there's just a third other way. You know, I can't. And by the way, he saw them all at the same. They were not together.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. I thought I was picturing them being together, nope. But not connected.
Wait, but the two were together? No, not at all.
All three okay. Separate. All damn, three separate. That's quite a
okay, name. I'll give you this, and I will not give the name. Suddenly, hair as black as the night, blank walks in. Awkward French double kiss to the maitre d', and she's whisked to a back table out of sight.
Lady.
Shortly after, moving with the careful precision of a man who needs a walker but carries a cane, blank walked in, hugs all around, and then they're shuffled out of sight. Then, after a delicious chicken parm, we pay our check, stand up, and we overhear blah, 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 blah. Look over to see the stunning blank.
Okay. All right. Well, the first one I want to say is Cher.
It is not.
It's not. Demi Moore?
What's that?
Demi Moore?
Matt's closer.
Oh, so it's a singer. Oh.
No, it is not.
It's an actor.
No.
It's a
you said jet black hair, comedian. Right?
But you are, no, but you, go back to Cher.
Cher.
In the music world. Think of other things in the music world.
Producer.
No.
Songwriter?
Yes.
Has she been on our show?
Was it Holly Knight?
It was not Holly Knight. That's it's the other one.
Diane Warren?
It's Diane Warren.
Diane Warren. Okay.
All right. Sure. So Diane Warren does an awkward, then goes to the back table.
Yeah, I can see that.
And then 92-year-old with a cane comes in. Who is this?
92 years old.
Is it actor? Also Paul Dooley?
It is Paul Dooley.
Nicholson? How old is Nicholson? He's not 92. Hackman? Oh, he's not in L.A. anymore.
Mm-mm. Is this person an actor?
No.
No?
Oh.
Singer?
No.
Sportscaster?
No.
Host?
Tony's closer.
With host show host?
With which thing?
Tony said...
Host?
No, before that you said singer?
Yeah.
No, but Tony's...
Guitarist?
No.
Instrumentalist of some sort?
No.
Producer?
Yeah, yes.
Well, Quincy Jones is dead, so it's not that.
A 92-year-old music producer?
I mean, it's... there's one. There's one.
Geffen? No, he's dead, right?
Oh.
Is he white?
Jimmy.
Yes, he is.
The guy who discovered Whitney Houston.
Yes.
Clive Davis.
Clive Davis.
Oh, thank yeah.
You. All right, there's two. Now, finally, the number three.
This was a stunning person. No more detail. Let's play this one.
They overhear, I'm going to say Susan, but that's not the name. Susan doesn't want to deal with paparazzi, so we're going to go out the back. We look over and see a stunning blank.
So it's a woman.
Yes.
A young woman.
No.
Oh.
No, this is Craig's in West Hollywood. Apparently nobody.
nobody. So is she over 60?
Oh, yeah.
Over 80.
I don't know.
It's stunning.
Maybe in her 70s.
Is that Cher?
It is not.
Is it?
We talked about Cher at the thing, by the way, that if she's wearing a wig.
Yeah.
Do you need to wear a beehive wig? And then you know who sat right behind her? Rob Schneider, who is he's 5'1".
That was his punishment.
Poor little guy can't see.
Yeah.
Totally random guess. Wendy Malick.
No.
Because she looks good at her age.
She does.
It is not Wendy Malick. I am going to look up the age, though.
Is it an actor?
This woman's acted.
But also a singer?
No.
Also. So we recently lost, is it Sophia Loren? Is that what I'm thinking of? Who do we lose?
I believe so. Or, yeah, I was trying to think if Bo Derek is still alive.
This woman is 79 years old.
79.
Is it Janice Dickinson? Janice?
It is not. But she this woman's 79 and loves pasta.
Is she a model? Was she a model?
I don't know. No.
Do you know why she's famous?
Oh, yeah. And you will, too.
We all know. We all know.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So it's not acting. It's not modeling. It's not singing.
No, but she's probably done all of those
things. She's done those things. Okay.
I don't know about singing, but...
But the thing that she made her name doing...
If she did sing, he did an episode.
Got it.
Okay.
Comedian?
No.
Business person?
No.
Not known for being a business person?
No.
He said not an actor.
She has acted.
But that's not her vocation.
In fact, you would probably know it. No, I think it probably is.
Okay.
But we know it. She's famous.
For hosting?
No, for being just, she's famous for being famous.
For being famous? Zsa Zsa Gabor?
No, but you're getting closer.
Pia Zadora.
No, but closer.
Angeline?
No, sir.
Sorry.
At Craig's?
They can't park pink Corvettes there.
Yeah. She may have a pink Tesla now, by the way. She has a pink Angeline? Something else.
I feel like it's been a couple
Where
years
does she get her money?
That guy.
She had a sugar daddy.
Oh, I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. Watch the documentary. I'm sure he left her money.
I guess, yeah.
Watch the doc. The premise was he's going to make her a star by putting her everywhere, so you can't not know who Angelina is. But then she had no talent.
Yeah, she didn't do anything. Wow. Yeah.
So she's famous here.
Yeah.
And admittedly, just like I used to as a child, when the Goodyear blimp would be in Chicago, and I go, "There's the blimp," and it's exciting. Now you see it every day because it's parked near my house. But Angelina's the same way. I'm a 58-year-old man when I see there she is.
Yes,
it's exciting.
Yes,
yeah.
It's like seeing Sasquatch.
It really is. She's out, and I'll tell you this: she follows the rules. She stops at the stop sign. She goes to the speed limit. Sure. She does everything properly.
She
can drive a car.
She draws a lot of attention. She can't break the law.
Well, this woman did not want to deal with the paparazzi. They went out the back.
Now, do you think, knowing what you know about this person, was the paparazzi a concern for her?
Yes,
you think so?
Oh, I do.
At this age,
I do. I don't think she has not dealt with paparazzi for 50 years. I think for 50 years they've bothered her.
So she's famous for being famous.
She can't go anywhere without them bothering her.
Wow. Is that because she was married to somebody?
Yeah.
Okay.
Married to someone.
Was she married to a famous movie star? Or a singer?
Yes.
A movie star. Both.
He has started movies.
Is it?
No.
Oh,
but more of a singer. More of a singer, but has done movies.
So. She was married to a singer who did movies.
There you go.
And is that guy still alive?
No.
He died years ago.
Yes.
Decades ago. Was he a pop star or a rock star? Rock star.
Depends on the era, what you want to call it.
Oh, wait. Whoa, my God. Was it Priscilla Presley?
It was Priscilla Presley.
Wow. Holy shit.
Wow. Okay.
Priscilla does not want to deal with the paparazzi.
Damn. That's a crazy sighting.
That's a crazy triple play.
I keep forgetting she's alive because it's crazy that her daughter is dead and she's still alive. Like, that's such a bummer.
Yeah, that is a bummer.
For us too.
What's the best celebrity sighting you've ever had?
Well, I always go back. It's not mine, but Matt seeing Al Pacino. Yeah, I think that is
a good one.
So, but for me, I know I have an answer to this because I've answered it in the past, but my brain is not giving it to me.
Yeah.
Who would it be?
Probably Paul Dooley at Patty's.
I think mine might be Paul Mooney.
You think that's the
really?
Best?
Just because of the situation that it was, that happened, it was...
What was the situation? I don't remember.
I don't come off in the best light in this situation. So we had just left, I think we had just left Match Game.
My pleasure.
And we were driving down Highland or something. And, you know, you do the what is what who have to say about it. We did it with Paul Mooney, some random black dude. I apologize. It's not cool. But we're saying, then we're driving, and then fucking Paul Mooney drives right next to us. Like we
but
say,
it wasn't the same guy that you said.
No,
about.
It wasn't. This was not. It was not him, and then it was him, and it was. And we all went fucking bananas.
Of course,
in the car screaming.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And he looked over, and I was like, and like waved or whatever he did. I don't know.
I had a similar thing happen once where I was at a restaurant with friends, and for some reason we talked about just recently watching a show or a movie that John C. Reilly was in, and literally 10 seconds later, John C. Reilly sat at the table next to us.
That is bizarre.
Yeah, very weird.
That's my George Segal story. When I looked in the car, I'm like, hey, that guy looks like George Segal. That's not George Segal. Car pulls up, George Segal. That's fucking weird.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
If I'm going by Garen's rules, I'll say George Segal.
Yeah.
But I must have. I mean, celebrity sighting. You know,
you met.
I met Mel Brooks. I met Dick Van Dyke. I met Carol Reiner. So, and Carol Burnett.
Honestly, your Mel Brooks story is probably the best one.
Yeah.
I don't disagree. Like, I think that's a highlight. It's a highlight of my life.
The fact that he screamed your last name to a fucking studio full of people.
Bruno! And then twirling the arm up in the air. Yeah. I mean, that's what you want Mel Brooks to do.
Insane. That's insane.
Yeah. So it's that's a win.
Yeah. That would be like if I saw Ad Rock and he said, "Yeah, boy!" Like, actually, it'd be Flavor Flav, but they both said that. If either of those people said that to me in person, it would probably...
Your impression certainly was Flavor Flav.
Yeah. As I was doing it, I was realizing, I'm doing Flavor Flav, but Ad Rock also said, "Yeah, boy." I'm not wrong about that, right? Am I having a stroke?
You're talking to the wrong guy.
I'm wearing the shirt. It's the Beastie Boys.
There you go.
My son might have been wearing a Beastie Boys shirt today. He's got that one, pardon me for not knowing. Go back to Brooklyn. What's it called?
No Sleep Till Brooklyn.
No Sleep Till Brooklyn.
Yeah, you've mentioned the shirt.
Go
before,
back to Brooklyn. I don't know.
It's not like that. It's got the guitars. It's rock.
Rocking.
Oh, my Eddie Trunk.
There's
no,
like
there's,
rock.
There's no guitar. I don't like they're using backing tracks. Shut the fuck up. You're an old man. Music has moved on. Relax. Go fucking watch your UFO band in a club. Be happy.
Yeah. Man.
Why isn't UFO at the Super Bowl? Why would they be?
Nobody cares about UFO.
Good Lord. I would. Now, the one thing I'll say about that, as much as I'm busting Eddie Trunk's balls, because he's just, again, he's a repetitive jackass on this topic, they could do a Legends of Classic Rock halftime.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that would be appealing to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
But they do not, because I understand the demographics are more. There's more black viewership than white. That's why we're getting these.
I think we may.
And I'm fine.
Yeah, maybe the time to have done that has slipped away from us a little bit. Like maybe 5 or 10 years ago, yes. That would have been perfect to do that kind of idea. But that back then, they were just getting a single. Like they would just get Aerosmith, or they would right. get one big.
Well, wasn't Aerosmith part of a group effort? Wasn't there other people?
I think Run DMC came out. But I don't know if they...
I thought a woman also got involved.
I don't know if there was another...
Maybe I'm conflating 2 years.
Did Trisha Yearwood come out to sing her version of I Don't Want to Miss a Thing on top of theirs?
I like that version better, I'll tell you that.
Okay. Headlined by Aerosmith and NSYNC.
Oh.
Featured appearances by Mary J. Blige, Britney Spears, Nelly, Tremors, and the Earthquake Horns. Oh, guys, so they got them.
So they got the horns.
The horns.
And yet not Run DMC. The one thing I guess I don't remember that at all. What year was that?
That was 2001.
Jeez. 24 years ago.
Yeah, they had to do something.
2001.
That was for 9/11.
No, that's pre-9/11.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Oh, yeah.
It was in the winter, yeah.
2002 would be... after 9/11,
let's see who they had
the
for that
world.
Is that the one?
No, that's isn't 2002? Isn't that
the Janet and
Janet
and Justin thing?
No. Or was that
2003 or 2004? It was around.
Or was it 2000?
No, it was after. It was definitely after 9/11 because I remember.
I don't know if it was because I was in the Bahamas with Bob and Tom.
I was on tour with Motion City because I remember people talking about it.
Okay.
Because I didn't get to see it because we were driving or playing shows or something.
Rocking.
Yeah.
So 2002 was U2.
Okay.
Using a heart-shaped stage replicated from the 2000 Elevation Tour.
All right.
They played 3 songs and paid tribute to the victims of the 9/11 attacks.
Thank you. Thank you, Bono.
The Irish band that came to...
Couldn't get an American band that year. They probably were already booked.
The next year, 2003, was Shania Twain, No Doubt, and Sting.
Okay.
Wow.
So...
2004, Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake, P. Diddy, Nelly, Kid Rock, and Jessica Simpson.
So I was in the Bahamas.
Boy, that's a problematic lineup.
The party, though.
The after party.
The after party.
Wow.
All right. I guess what I need to point out is I was in the Bahamas.
Congratulations.
3 years in a row I went to the Bahamas. Wonderful.
That reminds me, this is off, whatever, but my brother and my mom and maybe one of her husbands at the time went to the Bahamas, and they went on something called the Hanky Panky Booze Cruise. What do you think that is?
The Hanky Panky Booze Cruise?
Yeah.
It sounds like maybe some swinging is going to go on.
Well,
you think?
It also sounds like it's a reference to a country act that has a song about it, but it's not Achy Breaky. It's Hanky Panky.
Yeah.
It's a song that has Hanky Panky.
So my brother, I think, was probably 15 or 16 at the time.
Yes.
Maybe older, because the drinking age is different. He was definitely drinking. But it is 100% that.
Oh, it was a swingers thing?
It was a swingers
cruise.
Could you imagine? And they didn't know that.
They did not know that.
Whoops. Did they participate?
No.
I mean, your brother didn't because he's a child.
No. But
he's old enough to fuck.
He may have been like 8, maybe 18 or something.
Yeah, bump it up.
I don't know
so
what the drinking
fuck.
Age is in the Bahamas because he was definitely drinking. But he's like, yeah, all these old people were suddenly getting naked.
Keep talking.
And I'm like, what? That was really funny.
I would have done that if I was there. I don't think Danielle would have joined me, but I would have gone.
The hanky panky.
You're in international waters. You know, there's no rules.
Thank you for saying it. Matt Weinhold was also there, so, I could watch him fuck somebody. I can do that now.
Okay.
Let me call him.
Yeah.
Hey, let's do this. My name is Garen Cockrell, and I suck. Garen, that was a great story. Hey, what's your guess? Drama that begins with the letter Y.
My guess is yesterday.
Yesterday. Garen, refresh my memory. $20?
Oh, let me see.
This is
it's getting up there.
There's
a
chunk of change to be won here.
True.
And there's not a lot of Y's.
There aren't a lot of Y's.
I got to find the doc. The doc is not loaded.
That's the Beatles thing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Guy wakes up from an accident and the world doesn't know that the Beatles existed.
I liked that one. I liked that one.
I liked the premise, but I didn't like watching it.
I hear you. Yeah. What did you think of the Springsteen one? Remember the one where the kid goes to see Springsteen?
No, I didn't see that one.
It's called Born to Run. Is that what it's called?
I don't know. I think
it was called
the
what's the other song? The song that he didn't well that the other band made famous.
Oh, you're right. Blinded by the Light.
Blinded by the Light. Yes. I think that's what it was called. Yeah.
Man for Man's Earth Band.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's a better version. It just is. It just fucking is.
Okay. I like the Patti Smith version of Because the Night better than when Springsteen does it.
So. I will agree with that as well.
I like the George Michael fronted version of Somebody to Love more than the Queen version.
Me too.
I think that's one of the greatest live performances ever.
I agree with that 100%. 100%.
Wow. Thank you. I'm going to go back and watch that.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
Is that live?
It gives me chills every time. No, it's the Freddie Mercury tribute concert.
Oh, right, right. Oh,
did I say Freddie Mercury?
He was still alive at the Live Aid.
And that was the when the rumors were they're going to tour with George Michael as the lead singer. And then that, of course, didn't happen.
They should have done that.
God, they should have.
He would have killed it.
I killed it. Mm-hmm. He's so good.
I get why he didn't maybe want to, but boy, oh boy, that would have been amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, then you throw three George Michael songs in there at some point.
I guess it's in retrospect, if you look back on his career, like from our perspective, or at least from my perspective, not giving a shit about his output post 1991 or whatever. He would have been better off just being part of Queen than making all that unlistenable dance shit that he did.
It was Danielle and I saw one of those tours at the Forum, and it was like, these are rough.
Yeah.
This is rough.
But that's where his heart was. He wanted to take some ecstasy and fuck a dude in a club.
My heart? He liked it. You watch him fuck?
Yeah.
That's my new question. Apparently. If I get divorced and I go on first dates, that's going to be my first question. Like, who do you watch, fuck? And then whatever, depending on their answer, they get a second date.
Now, what if they say, us in a mirror?
I'm in. I'm in if I don't have to see me as part of that equation.
Well, you might catch
that. That is the part. Us is implicit.
Yeah, I close my eyes. I close my eyes. Go west. All right, let's check in with the Indo from the Vowel House. He's back.
Hello.
That's Elliot Hochberg wearing, again, also a nice jacket.
Thank you.
And that we decided that's from H&M as well?
It is from H&M, yes.
Good for you. Got going right nice over texture. To the mall near our house?
Yeah.
Is that where you go?
Yeah, there's one there, and there's one in the Century City
There
mall.
Is one in Century City.
Yeah, but...
There's also one, I think... No, there's not.
Abort. But the one near ours had been closed for some time.
Yeah, they remodeled and... Yeah. They're on both floors.
They're on both floors. They got a little stairwell and
yeah,
such and such and so and so.
Cool.
That a boy, Elliot. I drove past your house the other day. What do you think about that?
I mean,
you know why, right? I'm trying to watch him fuck. admittedly, it's not as exciting as Angeline, but when Waze takes me past your apartment, I do go, oh, there's Elliot's place. I get a little charge out of it.
I thought you were going to say it's not as exciting as Angeline, but seeing two people fuck is
that would be. I'm in on that.
Yeah,
definitely a lot of emotions would be involved at that point.
Yeah.
Irma wanted me to mention that the submission that we sent to immigration or whatever you want to call it for her stay.
Yes.
Was we got official approval.
Oh,
so
great.
She can stay till June 15th.
Oh,
completely great. Legal.
Great.
Before she has to, because you could stay like a year.
Yes.
But when you come in, they give you a certain number of amount of time that you can be a visitor, which for her was 6 months. So then we had to submit and then we had to wait. And then we got the results.
So she's good to go through June 16th.
June 15, yeah.
All right. Now, my dad's birthday is the 17th. Does that play into this at all?
I mean, she'll be in Indonesia by then, so...
Are you going to go with her?
I don't...
Is this a scheduling thing that we have to figure out?
I don't think so. I mean...
I think you should go. You got to meet the family.
Maybe. We'll see how things square out.
Let's check with Joseph Limbaugh now, just in case. Let's check with Joseph Limbaugh if he's available.
Yeah. You know what? Let's get him on the blower.
Be careful. Careful of Eric Calver.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he might horn in, and then what am I doing? Mm-hmm. I'm operating a camera.
Great point. Could Eric Calvert operate that equipment? That's a great question.
He also can play the horn. I think Eric Calvert, right? Can he play the trumpet? I think.
No, I don't know.
What if he's just over there with a woodblock and a trumpet and the cameras?
still less distracting than Elliot.
Yeah. Well, he could do my bit whenever you do Dirty Carson. He can actually play the trumpet.
Oh, that's true. That's fun.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on that. That's great.
Yeah, very exciting.
And my two cents is not wanted, but I think you should go meet the family.
I mean, I'm going to do that at some point. I don't know whether that will be this particular trip or not.
If she, so when she goes back in June, how long does she have to wait before she can come back here again?
There's no hard and fast rule, but because of the things that are happening with her family at that time, she'll probably be there for 2 months.
Now, what about, well, that's going to suck.
Yeah.
And then what about just getting married? Doesn't getting married help, or does that complicate things?
That's, so there's a whole process for all of that, because there's different visas that are involved. And if you do it the wrong way, then there's a chance that everybody goes nutballs. So we've got, basically, we've discussed it. We know like the steps that we need to take. And so attorneys probably have to get involved on some level, before that happens, just so we don't screw it up.
Okay. Safety first.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I wish you luck. You know that.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I think it's you're a different guy with her around you, and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Except for that thing you did with that bottle the other day. I wanted to fucking throw you through a wall.
What, this?
Don't you dare. Don't you fucking dare.
The reason why she wanted me to mention it is because the system still works.
Oh, that's good.
You know?
For the time being.
Yeah, yeah.
For the time being. Yeah.
If there was any...
she can get back in.
I mean, we'll worry about that.
I'm going to start worrying about it right now.
Oh, okay. We're very happy and excited about these
results.
That's great.
So. Again, I think you should go back and do it with the family for 2 months. Maybe in the middle of it.
Maybe.
Know? Maybe in the middle of it. Like, let her go for a couple weeks.
Yeah, break up time apart, because that's going to be a long time.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. So we gotta. We'll figure it out.
What are you do? Take a plane?
I mean, I think that's the only. Yeah. So I'll see you in 6 months.
Yeah. Flying is a little dicey right now. I think you want to take a boat.
I gotta be honest with you. It is. Is this the best time to get on a plane?
Weird to say it, but
well, fortunately, the Indonesian airports are very modern and don't have walls at the end of their. Runways.
Well, that's not everything that's happening. Yeah.
No, there's a lot of stuff, but
planes are flipping. They're falling out of the sky.
It is.
We got a reality star in charge of transportation.
Oh,
two Vinces lost their plane.
Pardon?
Two Vinces.
Vince Neil
and Vince Vaughn. Didn't he crush into Vince Vaughn's plane?
Wait, what?
Yeah, it was Vince Vaughn's plane that Vince Neil crushed into.
I didn't know Vince Vaughn had a plane.
I didn't.
It was Vince on Vince Violence.
Yeah.
Vince does not hurt Vince.
VVV.
Yeah. This is a disaster.
Wow. I didn't know Vince Vaughn. How sarcastic is that plane? what's your guess for a Y drama?
All right. So I've got a handful, enough.
Oh, we got to go.
But I'm trying to anticipate a Jimmy Pardo. I'm going to go The Year of Living Dangerously.
Year of Living Dangerously.
Yeah.
So that's a great movie.
It is a great movie.
All right, so we got Yesterday, which is we've decided is a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Tony, did you just fall asleep? You all right?
Don't worry about it.
What'd you say?
I said, don't worry about it.
All right. Did you want to put your coat over here? You have it on your lap, like you're a little lady.
Yeah, you want to try it on?
Is this the best time to do that?
In the middle of this game? I don't know.
Yeah.
You're the host.
I don't want to forget. That's my main thing.
All right. Well, Matt, what is that? No, Tony's next.
Yeah.
I will go with the first thing I thought of. Young Guns.
Young Guns, having some fun. Crazy lady on the run. Wise guys realize, ain't an emotional test. See me, England free. No affairs, no tears, what you want to be. Take a look at you. Death by matrimony. Ding, 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 ding.
You didn't let me finish.
Okay.
Two.
Okay.
Also, and I just wanted to thank you for asking me who my best celebrity sighting was.
Oh, I don't care, Tony. I can't be more clear. Who is it?
Well, now it feels like I was fishing. But, Steven Spielberg.
Where'd you see him?
It's a little bit of a cheat. I weirdly was once at a SNL after party, and Steven Spielberg was there hanging out.
Oh, that's not a cheat.
That's honestly the situation is better than the sighting for me.
Yeah.
Like, that's
like that was
amazing.
Just an insane thing to be.
Why were you there, Tony?
So weirdly, I have been friends with Vanessa Bayer's brother for a long time. He used to be a music writer, and we've been friends for a long time. And so I'd met her passingly over the years and like know her a bit now and everything. And they invited us to come out one time and
that's awesome.
To go to the after party and all that. And
very cool.
She did a sketch on the 50th, right?
She did.
The with Fred Armisen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
On Weekend.
That was very funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I always liked her.
I did too. Yeah, I thought she's great.
Yeah.
She's
great. She was back when she was nobody. She had like come out to some shows with her brother, and she you know, being her, and, you know, she was not an established name by any means, and she came onto our bus and was hanging out and gave us a signed headshot that said, "Keep reaching for the stars." Nice.
That's great.
Yeah, she's great.
Good for you. Tony Thaxton. Go ahead.
I don't know what I would do if I saw Steven Spielberg in the wild, because he's like my number one.
Punch him?
Maybe.
Hug him?
I've also seen Steven Spielberg. It might be up there for me. Well, actually, throwing a football with Robert Redford is probably my best.
Dude, I mean, it's not going to get better than that.
Yeah. And also, I met Brad Pitt on that same set, but that was A River Runs Through It. But same age, roughly, within a year of that, when I was working at a special effects studio in high school, Steven Spielberg came to visit. They were producing the Back to the Future ride for the Universal Studios, whatever. And so I knew he was there. And so I snuck into this room and like peeked my head in as he walked through a room. And I was like, got him. It was like I was playing Pokemon. I was like, I just have to capture the image of Steven Spielberg from across a room to say, I've seen Steven Spielberg. So it's not a great sighting, but, you know, I got
it. No, it's a good sighting.
It hit the back of my retinas or whatever. It counts.
Counts as a sight.
Yeah. We got a retina sight.
That's right. So description.
Yep.
You haven't asked me, but I just realized that my best one was locking eyes with Bernadette Peters at the backstage of a tennis event.
Yeah.
And I tried to live up to that moment and couldn't.
Yeah.
But she kind of like, I don't know whether she thought I was good looking or just thought that I was staring at her, but she stared me down.
I don't want to be rude. It's me.
I had abs during that.
Dude, I always say you have a wonderful smile.
Oh, thank you very much.
Please, you know I'm busting your balls.
I appreciate that.
Did you tell you had a drone?
Oh, too bad you weren't on camera for that.
Oh, that is too bad. Matt, what's your guess? Why movie?
I'm so torn because I wanted to say Young Guns, and I honestly, I might do the rare thing. I'm going to split the dough and say Young Guns.
You are?
Interesting.
Because I feel strong. My other ones suck. There's no way it's Yellow Submarine or Yankee Doodle Dandy.
I'll tell you this. It's not.
Yeah. Yeah. So other than saying Young Guns 2, which if you said Young Guns 2, fuck you.
No,
We're going to take you in the alley and beat you up.
And I think in this game, if you say Young Guns or Young Guns 2, both count for this.
100%.
Yes.
Anyway, I'm saying Young Guns.
Give us the fans.
All right.
Which is probably a very short list of playing games.
All right. Youth in Revolt.
Okay.
Year of Living Dangerously.
That's what you said.
Yep. Y Tu Mama Tambien.
Oh, yeah. I love that movie. Jimmy, I never would have said it, but I wish I had thought of it.
Yorktown.
Uh-huh.
Young Guns.
Oh, there it is.
Yesterday.
That's Garen said that.
Yojimbo.
Okay, I didn't
say Yojimbo.
Yeah, that's
Yojimbo.
And then the thing I was trying to decide between.
Yes.
Yentl.
Yentl with the great Barbara Streisand.
Oh, and then I didn't pick this because I thought it would be a comedy.
You know he loves Streisand. Why wouldn't you go with that if you thought?
Because he doesn't pick the thing that's the most obvious thing. That's all do that.
Let's all agree. Point. You see Barbara Streisand out in the wild. That might be it. That might be the win.
That's a fucking crazy.
Right. Yeah, that might be the win.
Yeah, yeah.
But I got Redford.
I know you got Redford
right there with it. He
one
kissed
degree
her.
Away.
He probably fucked her, right?
Yes, and make no
Did
mistake.
You watch?
I watched that. Oh, do I watch that, Tony?
So the number
His
one
leathery face.
Not like a football
in ecstasy.
You threw with Matt.
That's right. go ahead, Ellie.
So the number one for the fans that I didn't pick this because I thought this would be considered a comedy is You've Got Mail.
I would consider that a rom-com.
It's a comedy, yeah.
But that was the number one from the fans.
Like Yes Man was one I thought of, but that's a straight comedy.
All right, here we go. You ready? Yep. I go to the app that they, it's called Notes.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's on my phone. Nope, that's wrong. No, I need to find that because I got a new phone and so things have been moved about. There it is, movie game drama.
You don't just do the thing where you restore from update and it just basically looks exactly like your old phone?
Yes, but it's playing games.
Okay.
Here we go. You ready? Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. One, two, three, four. I guess I do have five. All right, number five is Youngblood.
Okay.
That was close.
Youngblood. That's that
Rob Lowe
that's
ice
that Rob Lowe ice skate movie.
Hockey
movie.
Yeah, right.
Number four, Year of the Gun.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah,
is that John Cryer or is it Anthony Michael Hall? Oof. Which one of those guys was in Year of the Gun? Or am I thinking of the wrong movie?
I think you're thinking of something else.
Yeah. Isn't Year of the Gun Benicio Del Toro and Ryan Felipe?
Yes. So what am I thinking of with one of those two guys? A movie that I made up
in
my head?
No. Year of the Gun is Andrew McCarthy.
That's it. Yes.
And okay. Sharon Stone and
Valeria. Oh, so you are thinking about that.
Yeah, Way of the Gun is the Benicio del Toro.
That's
movie.
Yeah,
Way
yeah.
of the Gun.
All right, Year of the Gun is not a good movie, but I liked it.
Okay.
Number three, Year of Living Dangerously.
I'm out.
Number two, Yentl.
Okay, I still would have been out.
Here we go.
And number one, Young Guns.
Yay! Yeah. Now we go to the bet.
No, we don't.
Here we go. Get the cash from the coffee can, the Great Dane Coffee. Get the cash. How much is it, Garen?
$20.
$20, $10 each?
Yeah.
Tony, you don't get that at Rosen's house.
No, I don't.
The most exciting thing is you don't have to email him to get
right. You, it's you.
I can do
that's
it.
That's you. And Young Guns was my third thing written down, but
Garen's Elliot making fun of himself. Calls that himself was on. Wonderful.
I'm going to give these to you, and then I'm going to do this first.
Oh, I see how you're doing.
You're paying Tony?
Yeah.
You guys ready? It's a round robin.
Here put we your go. Hand out.
Hold on. Okay.
Joker's Wild Style.
And 5, 10, 15, 20.
Yeah,
baby. 10 and 10. Split it up, gentlemen.
That was.
Thank you.
I felt very good about making that choice.
That was a good choice. Young Blood.
Young.
Nope.
Young Guns. may have misread my list upside down.
Oh, no.
No, Young Gun, number one. That's that Western. Bon Jovi's on the soundtrack.
Yeah. Sure. And the in sequel? The movie.
Oh, the second one.
He's in the second one.
Second one.
I'll make you famous.
Pardon?
That's what he says. I'll make you famous.
Is that right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that's what Billy the Kid says to him. Right? Right
before. I guess so, yeah. If Billy the Kid kills you, it'll
be. Is there an Affleck in there? Is there a Casey Affleck?
Nah, that was before.
It's too soon.
What you got? You got
Kiefer in there?
Kiefer Sutherland, Kiefer. I think, is Doc
Emilio,
Holiday.
For sure.
Emilio Estevez.
Yeah.
Is Chuck
Charlie
in there?
Charlie Sheen, I think, is in it.
Lou Diamond Phillips?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Sounds right.
Is there one more?
By the way, by all accounts,
Casey
Lou Diamond Phillips is supposed to be a
yeah, yes, I think it is him.
Who?
I'm shocked.
Casey Sismet or whatever?
Casey Samaska?
Yeah.
If I'm right about that, that's crazy. I was kidding. I just thought it was a funny name to say.
He's
1988 film by Christopher Kane.
Okay.
Emilio Estevez, Kiefer Sutherland, Lou Diamond Phillips, Charlie Sheen, Dermot Mulroney.
Oh, okay.
And Casey Semesco. Semesco.
Wow.
Hot cast.
Very hot.
All good looking.
The worst, John Bon Jovi. Worst thing that would upset me is about the documentary.
Yes.
Aside from it being kind of pointless and too long. No mention of his first recorded performance, which was on the Star Wars Christmas album.
Oh, right.
Right.
I was a little disappointed.
Well, he,
like, own up to it. Come on.
He doesn't seem to have a sense of humor about himself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What was, the take? Go ahead, Tony.
I agree. There were certain things that I was like, I was actually, I didn't realize he was as hands-on and as he is. And so I was like, okay, he knows what he wants. Like, I get that. But yeah, I will say his one thing that I did enjoy that I did laugh at is at the end, and he's like with the producer or something listening to Living on a Prayer. And he goes, "Do I have any regrets? That key change."
Oh,
that's funny.
Because that's real high.
Yeah.
He does give a lot of to charity. His wife do a great job of that. On my classic rock news group, or whatever they call it, message board, whatever they're called these days, it's not Reddit, but it literally is like the old AST board. It's that antiquated. They really want Richie Sambora back. They think that John is nothing without him, and they said the new guy has ruined Bon Jovi.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the whoever he is, producer and co-writer is now. I don't know the guy's name.
Did he
I
forget. Punch Bon Jovi in the throat to ruin his voice?
Yeah.
Is that what he did?
Yeah.
Yeah, that it's the vocal that's ruining Bon Jovi,
well,
for sure.
The songs also suck.
Yeah, like they do.
Yeah, so...
That's got to be him, though. He likes that country fucking... pop shit that he turned into.
Yeah, the songs have sucked for 20 years.
Yeah, I don't know if I can blame that on the new guys.
Well,
some might say the songs have sucked for 50 years.
I'll say that. Garen, with all due respect, sir, These are guys that are on a classic rock message board. If this is what they say about Bon Jovi, I'm going to go with them, you and fucking Van Nuys.
You're right. You're right. I should show deference to the classic rock message board.
Yes.
Apologies.
Please do that to Daredevil 123. Yes. Show him respect.
You have no right, Karen. You have no right.
You're right. Hubris. How dare I?
All right, Jimmy, try this fucking jacket on.
Oh. All right, then we got to go.
Yeah.
All right, I'm taking this off. Taking my jacket off.
Yeah,
take
it off,
tie.
Jimmy. Oh.
Did it make it weird?
Yep.
As weird as saying you want to see me and my girlfriend have sex?
I didn't say I wanted to.
You implied it. I mean, it looks nice on you. How does it feel?
It does. It's a little big on you.
It's a little big.
But
it's a medium, right?
You're smaller than I am.
Is that big? Because to me, it fits.
It's not like, whoa, that's big.
I think you want a small, not a big.
Yeah, you got
I don't
a little,
think I do. See, that's
you
the problem.
You get too much bunching.
It's too long.
Yeah, but I can't. Here's the problem. A small would not. See, I can't, first of all, I can't zip it.
Well, that is a problem.
See, it's already, it's tight.
Oh, really? Where?
I have a huge ass.
Oh.
Well, if it was shorter, it wouldn't be hitting your ass. It would be on your waist where it's supposed to be.
Tony, this thing sucks.
Oh,
hey.
Oh I got it. No problem. All right, so it's there.
Actually,
yeah.
I mean, it looks fine. I just think a small would fit you better.
You're worried about the butt.
Don't worry about your ass. A smaller one would be up higher above.
Well, that's mine. True.
Can I tell you that I've tried this jacket on 1,000 times?
Oh, okay.
So I would wear it like this. Because I can't get the small. I can't get the small to zip up.
Maybe you... Maybe get it hemmed.
I don't give a shit about this jacket enough to do that.
It's like a $20 jacket. You spend $50 hemming it.
And then you end up with a $70 jacket that fits.
I do like the jacket, though.
Yeah, it's nice.
Coming at you, Tony.
It's not $20. That's an exaggeration.
I mean, it wasn't much more, I don't think.
No,
it was
yeah.
30 or 40 or something.
Something like that.
That color? That's on the Claritin. I do like that color, though. Reminds me of the Members Only jackets. That was a very popular Members Only jacket color.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I had the caramel brown, which... right? And I'm pretty sure I got that because it probably was on sale. Mm. And I so badly wanted a Members Only jacket. You know, you had to have one at that moment in time. And my mom bought it for me. And I'm guessing because we were poor, I got the brown because it was the black and red were $70 and this was 30 or whatever.
Yeah.
However much jackets were. How much were jackets back then?
Probably a third of that.
Probably 40
in that era.
50.
But again, expensive.
Equivalent, yeah.
Yeah.
But the plus size, you probably didn't match anyone else. Like, you want to be original.
Oh, I did not. Yeah.
That was the problem with things like that. When things were popular, you don't want the exact same thing as everyone else. You want to have a somewhat unique.
Bedazzle.
Yeah, but maybe you don't at that age. At that age, you kind of just want to fit in.
Yeah.
I've said this before. Like, you know, when the first Air Jordans came out, I wanted them. And the girl that I had a crush on got the Chicago colorway, which is the black, white, red. And I was like, well, I wanted those, but I can't get the same ones as the girl I have a crush on. Everyone will make fun of me.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, I'll get the black and red ones. And then the fucking guy that she was
gets those. What are you going to get then?
So then I had to get the blue and black, which is clearly the third best.
Let me ask you a question about those two.
Yeah.
And you know the question. you ever put those shoes on and watch them fuck? Hey, let's all put our shoes on. Let me watch you guys fuck. All right, let's get out of here. Tony. Always a joy to see you.
Love coming
you fit in like family. And I mean that sincerely.
Thank you. I love talking to you guys. You know I love the show. So always happy to do it.
And we thank the listeners. Let me give you a final...
Final tote.
The sale. Let's see if we've sold out or anything. Of more things. Here we go. And this sale, it may already be over. I forget what time this thing was supposed to end. Here we go. Here's the... okay, we got... oh, boy. Somebody's going to have a long day... shipping stuff.
The downside.
The hats did not move as quickly. Maybe because they already had them.
Yeah, could be.
But things have sold out, and other things have not. Those tour posters have sold out. My begging has made them sell.
Thank God.
All right. Then some other stuff is... okay, great. All right. So thank you guys for buying that stuff.
Nice.
Again, we've lost money on them.
Yeah.
But
we had already lost that money.
Right.
This is getting some back. sort of, at least a little.
A little bit, but more importantly, it's in the fans' hands.
Yep.
They get a little souvenir from this program, and we appreciate that. We appreciate you listening to the show. We appreciate you subscribing. Don't forget, the new season's right around the corner.
That's right.
And so head to the website. Do you send out an email as well on this? Is that something?
There will be an email going out, and before this episode, Matt and I talked about it, and we're going to say that if you want to be in the first wave of shipments,
yes,
make sure that you've done all of your selections, if whatever is necessary for your address and so forth, by March 31st.
Yes.
Because that's when we hope that we'll be able to start the process of shipping.
If you have no shipping address in your account on our site, you won't get anything. If you have an old address, please update it, because if your old address is in there, it's going to get shipped to there.
I will also add this to addresses. If you live in an apartment complex, make sure you say what unit you're in.
Yes, please.
Because for some reason, all of a sudden, postmen get to your address and they can't find.
They just give up.
Unit 5B, and they go, and then they send it back.
Which seems like it would cost us more if they do that. But I guess maybe if you drop it off and then it disappears, then the post office gets responsible for it or something?
I don't know. No, I think it costs us more.
Well, it costs us more to ship it. You have to reship it.
You have to reship it.
Yeah. No, I'm saying if they leave it at the apartment and it's not in the exact right spot for that person and then somebody grabs it, then maybe the post office is somehow responsible.
Oh.
I'm not going to worry about
that. I'm cool if they do that. I'm cool if they throw it out the back of a truck and the people never get their stuff. Right? All right. Thanks, everybody. We appreciate it.
Real quick. Because the new season's coming up. If you have ideas for things you want to hear in the intro for next season, there's a post on Facebook, on our Facebook page.
Is mostly for the live stream to do, because by the time this comes out.
If I may, Tony said something this show that was good, but I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, he did.
Tony said something that it was perfect.
The drone?
The drone. Did you tell her you had a drone? Mm-hmm. Might have been that.
Yeah.
Might have been
mark
that.
Mark that down.
Mark that down.
It was recent.
And put down structure shoulders.
It's true. I probably will be working on this before people hear this episode. But anyway.
Yeah, but this folks
if
are
if you have
alive.
Ideas, I mean, I'll probably be working on
let,
it.
Let everybody know.
Up to the last minute.
Let it be. All right. I just sang a Hootie the Blowfish song with the wrong words.
Let her cry.
Let it be.
The words
I told you I'm obsessed to listen to his solo album, right?
No.
Darius Rucker's best of album. Listen to it. Hootie kind of leans a little countryish anyway. Mm-hmm. And I like his voice.
Yeah.
And I like the songs. They're good songs. Hootie and the Blowfish's Darius Rucker. On behalf of the Pop Culture Beast Club over there, there's Garen Cochran. We have Video Village, Elliot Hochberg, the Honcho Matt Belled Up, and our good friend, the bassist, Tony Thaxton. I'm Jimmy Pardo. We'll see you next time on the podcast. AK-47 gone, not forgotten.